about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
He's a young fellow. He's a real trooper, this one. His name is Kevin, and I'd surely like to bring him out here. Kevin, if you would come out here now, I'd love to give him a round. It's hard for him to come out. Here he comes. Oh, the wait was worth it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Do me a favor, okay? Pick a number between 1 and 10.
7.
Wrong. The answer was genocide.
Okay.
So now you're the statistics.
My balls. Take them. Hold them. Rub them. Love them. And then eat them. Eat all of my balls.
When you look at that, do you feel embarrassed? Do you feel shame? Do you feel humble? Do you feel... Tell me what you feel.
Not good.
And now, like, acting is a tough occupation. How do you guys practice?
Our feature presentation.
Valid question, by the way.
I think so.
It is difficult. Tough, and how do you practice?
How do you practice?
Yes.
How do you guys practice?
Yeah, practice. Question mark? Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin DeBede Show. It's Thursday morning, the 14th of August.
Hey, Lisa, before we get started, I know there are two fairly serious problems out there this morning. Could you just give us a quick overview?
Yes. So earlier there was, well, I'll give you the big one that's working right now. It's the 210 eastbound. There's a sig alert for the eastbound side of the 210 freeway. This is right at Baldwin Park Boulevard. Only the carpool lane and the left lane are open. They had all lanes closed down until maybe 10 minutes ago. So now it's just the left two lanes that are open and traffic is backed up to Rosemead. That's East 210 at Baldwin. That's a sig alert until further notice. And then North 5 at the 605, they had a crash with several lanes blocked. And they've gotten that off to the right shoulder. But it looks like the right two lanes may still be affected and traffic is backed up to Valley View.
Wow. So if you're going to work at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Good times.
You shouldn't have to deal with the freeways being closed, right?
No. And I can tell you, the 91
clear sailing
really
for those
bad.
People.
There must have been something earlier there, too. Yeah. It's a bad morning on the freeways.
It's a bad morning, and it's not even 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll continue to update that here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll tell you all about the program we have planned. But first, this story, a little feature we like to call You Be the Judge. Kalamazoo, Michigan, Department of Public Safety officer came to the rescue of a woman who was choking in her car. Officer Jason Gates initiated a traffic stop in the 4100 block of South Burdick Street. She blew through a red light right in front of a cop, and you can even see it on his dashboard camera. I mean, there's no question that she just didn't stop for a red light.
So right? Guilty.
He lights up. He pulls her over. As he approaches the vehicle, he realizes the woman behind the wheel is in respiratory distress because she is eating a hot dog while she's blowing through the red light.
Really? So she's choking.
She is choking.
Wow.
He asked the driver if she's all right, quickly realized she was unable to breathe. He administered a couple of back blows, it says, in an attempt to dislodge the hot dog from the woman's throat. Back blows did not work, so Officer Gates removed the woman from the driver's seat of the vehicle, then used the Heimlich maneuver and was able to dislodge the hot dog and the bun from the woman's throat.
Do not tell me he gave her a ticket for running the light.
The woman immediately began crying and threw herself into Officer Gates' arms, thanking him for saving her life. By the way, the officer on the dashboard cam video says, "Holy S!"
as yeah, no
she
kidding.
Begins hysterically crying. So he's surprised by that. He is being touted as a hero, but did he give the woman a ticket for running a red light in front of him? A little feature we like to call You Be the Judge. That doesn't sound right, by the way.
Well, I was a little late. Try it again.
A little feature we like to call You Be the Judge.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry. Give me.
What happened now?
Give me a 3, 2, 1.
Is that more like reverb and we need echo? I always get confused which one to ask for.
That's echo.
That's reverb, I think, yeah.
Which one do we want? Echo. What sounds better?
Echo is the one where it actually says it again and again.
I think that's what we want. Yeah, I think that would sound better.
This just sounds like you're in a gym or someplace.
Yeah, let's get some echo here. All right, now, Lisa, you said
there you
turn it down while you're fixing it, could you? So, Lisa, you said guilty before
guilty.
We even started. So,
yes, I did.
And by guilty, you mean that the officer did give the woman a ticket?
Well, no, I didn't know the story, obviously. I'm going to say the officer did give her a ticket. Guilty.
Did give her a ticket because even though she was choking, she clearly ran a red light.
Broke the law.
Broke the law.
You don't
all right.
do that.
Kevin, what do you say?
I say not guilty. I say he does not give her a ticket for that.
And what's your reasoning for why the officer would not give her a ticket?
It was an emergency, and she wasn't capable of doing it.
Oh, so you think she was – that's why she ran the red light is because I didn't see anything to indicate that, but that's certainly possible.
Well, I mean, you thought that she started – what, eating the hot dog after she got past the stop sign?
There's no way to know whether she was choking before or after.
I would guess she was choking and couldn't stop.
All right, so you say no on the ticket.
Right.
All right. Beer Mug, what do you think?
Look, as much as I commend her for shoving down a hot dog down her throat, she had to have gotten a ticket because she ran the red light. And you're not supposed to be eating while you're driving, too.
Ooh, good point.
Wow. Okay.
Hate it when Mug makes a good
driving.
Point.
Once again, the feature that we like to call... You be the judge. It's so much better.
That was pretty good. We got to work
so
on it.
So much
still,
better.
Yeah, better.
He did not give her a ticket.
No ticket.
Which may be why he's being touted as a hero, by the way, and not as a dick.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Apparently, nearly dying is a win-win, and that's something to keep in mind in case, like, Mugs, for instance, if you ever see the lights behind you or something like that, you know, just start stabbing yourself in the chest or something like that, just so there's a medical emergency when the officer pulls you over, then you don't have to worry about whatever the infraction is.
I like that he goes right to stabbing in the chest.
Because well, I'm saying...
That's sweet.
Whatever he's got available to him. Yeah. Sure.
We know he has food in the car at all times.
That's true.
Exactly. And in his mouth at all times, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there's a happy ending. So that woman's got a lot to be grateful for at the end of the day. She didn't die choking on a hot dog, and she got out of a traffic ticket.
And you be the judge.
Oh, it didn't work on me.
You be the judge. Is now complete. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Hi. Welcome to Boobers, where we got a double D from the health department.
We have What's Up with Florida on the program today.
We do. I can't believe that story didn't happen in Florida.
The ice bucket challenge is a big thing now.
Yeah.
And Dr. Drew did it. I don't know if you saw that yesterday.
No, I didn't.
He put it up. Dr. Drew did it and challenged me. Bastard. And also, I'm not exactly positive why it took all the way to Brad Williams to figure out that perhaps somebody should challenge Brittany, Miss Double December, to do this. So he has done that. We're going to talk to her today.
Now, that's going to be the first, and I'll suggest this to Brittany, the first slow motion video of
correct.
The Ice Bucket Challenge.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure you need to tell her, but yeah, it'll be slow.
Okay.
No question.
Because that would be, I mean, that way we could really raise a lot of money for charity.
Sure, right. That's the thing. We also are going to give away some tickets for Rise Against, and we're going to talk about baby showers that include dudes.
Yeah,
baby showers with dudes. Now, there's two things. There's one that I've heard of, which is couples, where the girl and the guy go. Apparently, there's a new one where just the guys go.
Really?
Yes.
So but that doesn't make any sense.
That's just nonsense.
So
most of those guys won't even still be around when the baby's born anyway. So what the hell are they doing in a baby shower?
Yeah, the father-to-be has his friends over, and it's just the guys.
Huh. I've not heard of that.
Both are nonsense. So we will get into that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ronda Rousey on the program later on today talking about her new film, Expendables 3. We've actually got you covered early, too, because Beer Mug... was on the red carpet for that movie premiere.
Yes.
How are they, Kevin? What can we expect coming up right after the top of the hour?
It's a mixed bag. A couple of them are pretty good. What?
That's disheartening.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that, but a couple of them
are specifically told him not to get better.
Well, I'm not sure it was him. I think it may have been the person he was interviewing that was
still,
good.
This is a bad trend.
Well,
he's got one use. Be bad. The minute he starts getting mediocre, he is completely useless
to us.
That's true. That's actually true. It's like American Idol. You care about the great singers and the horrible singers, the people in between, you got no time for.
Some of them are bad, though.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Well, that makes me feel better.
I'm looking forward to that. So new Beer Mug red carpet interviews coming up. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
First of all, happy Wiffle Ball Day, everybody.
Oh, Wiffle Ball Day.
Yeah.
Didn't realize.
The 61st anniversary of the invention of the Wiffle Ball.
Jimmy Kimmel is so excited today.
He loves him some Wiffle Ball.
Man, oh, man.
Wiffle Ball's great. Wiffle Ball, for those of you... in Southern California, you probably never had to deal with the wiffle ball because you had beautiful weather all the time and lots of space to go out there and play softball or baseball, whatever you were playing as a kid. But if you were an East Coast kid like Jimmy Kimmel or myself, you were playing the streets. You couldn't play baseball. Every window and every street would be broken all the time. So you had to break out the wiffle ball and bat. which you could have all the same fun with, but it would limit your range of actual.
Yeah, you could destroy a wiffle ball.
Crush a wiffle ball. It'll go 12 like feet. 12 feet. That's a home run with a wiffle ball. But 61 years, how cool would it be to invent something that would still be around 61 years later? Very few people have that.
Let's make it out of plastic, and then let's put holes in it.
Right.
That's it.
This guy apparently wanted to make it for his kid who was learning how to throw a curve. He wanted to design something that would curve easily, and those holes apparently make the ball curve.
How about that?
Yeah. So there you go. Our tribute to the wiffle ball. This doesn't surprise me. That rapper Future has been very, very naughty. You know, he cheated on his fiancée, Ciara. I don't know if you heard about this or not.
I've not.
Yeah, Ciara. They broke up their engagement.
Broke up their engagement, right. And now she says she wants to solely focus on their three-month-old baby, Future. Well, that won't remind you of your ex-fiancée at all, I don't think.
No.
Having a baby boy named exactly what your husband's name is. He gave her a 15-carat diamond ring to propose. I'm guessing he's not getting that back.
Does he want that back? I'm sure.
Yeah. More music news. Katy Perry has announced that she was going to have a baby. Soon. It's in their 5-year plan.
I was going to say.
Okay.
Someone pointed out she doesn't have a significant other. She said, I don't need a dude. It's 2014. Well, that kid will be happy for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Just ask a little Future about that. He knows what's going down.
Future.
This is creepy and yet hopeful. O.J. Simpson has a new obsession while he's in the joint. According to RadarOnline.com, he's obsessed. He has photos up all over his prison cell of porn star Kim Kardashian. So his walls are plastered with photos of Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Insiders say, now, the insiders are in quotes, he hopes to hook up with her when he's released. And frankly, I would like that, too.
I would, too.
I would encourage that mating.
They get all the news, right? I mean, he knows.
Apparently, he does know, but he thinks that he's a big name. He's got a lot to offer, and he thinks he would really make an impression on Kim.
And that 40-year age difference, that doesn't dissuade
sure
him at all,
no.
Right?
Why would that be a problem? I'm all for it.
Love to see him try.
I'm a little bit suspicious of this story because don't prisons go out of their way to keep anything that might be provocative out of the hands of prisoners in terms of movies and books and photos and things like that? Like I don't know that they'd let you hang pinup photos of Kim Kardashian in your cell.
I'm not well versed in the ways of prison.
I know when I was inside. That was how they ran it.
Sure.
But. Remember when Nevada.
You dug that tunnel behind that poster of Rita Hayworth, I remember.
That's right. Sure did.
Yeah. Hard to get out. Bean Baxter was my friend. And Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's love story may not be the fairy tale we all think it is. She's got some rules, apparently, that Brad has to live by. One of which, and I was stunned by this, is apparently she has flat out forbidden Brad from doing any love scenes with any other women.
Is that right?
That's why you haven't seen him in a romantic film. When's the last time you remember him being in a romantic film? Mr. and Mrs. Smith, maybe? When he co-starred with his wife?
With her, yeah.
Wow,
everything
that's
else
a great
has
point.
Been war movies and caper movies and shoot 'em ups and action.
Interesting.
No lovey-dovey stuff for Brad Pitt.
What about her? She allowed to do that in her movies?
I think she's it's mandatory that she must do that. But she does not like the idea of him hooking up with other women on the set. I wonder why that would be an issue. Because he was married to Jennifer Aniston when he hooked up with Angelina Jolie on the set.
I don't see how that relates.
I don't either. But let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Bartles, and James. 73 years old today. Actor Steve Martin is 69. Actress Marcia Gay Harden is 55 years old today. How good was she in the last season of The Newsroom? By the way, she played the lawyer. Remember who was interviewing her?
She was
great.
Was
terrific.
You watch The Newsroom, Kim?
Yeah.
What?
For real?
How dare you?
Why are you surprised that we're surprised?
How dare both of you?
That does not seem like the kind of television program you would watch on a weekly basis.
It's not loud.
It's not on the CW.
It's not on the CW.
I do.
There are no zombies in it. It's people talking to each other about stuff.
I'm not even going to talk to either of you.
How
do you like that?
You just talked
very
to
much. Shoot.
Urban Magic Johnson's 55 years old today. Actress Halle Berry is 48. Catherine Bell turns 46 years old today. Lamorne Morris from New Girl is 34. Mila Kunis from Family Guy turns 31. And Spencer Pratt is also 31 years old. Let me just take that name right off the list.
Celebrities only, please.
We really don't need Spencer Pratt. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know when this decision was made. I didn't vote on it, but apparently we've decided we have too many listeners here on the Kevin and Bean
right.
Show.
Right, yeah.
So we've got beer mug, red carpet interviews, and then we're going to immediately follow that with an update from the Armenian comedian. So that's the 1-2 punch we're putting on our listeners this morning.
I was going to try and not mention they were back-to-back. I was going to try and hide that fact a little bit.
So we apologize in advance, but Muggs is in the studio. He had a very special night in Hollywood a few nights ago at the premiere of a little movie we like to call Expendables 3. Hey, Muggs.
Right here in Hollywood. Premiere of Expendables 3. Yeah! It's my good intro.
That's how he starts. Why? I don't know.
Yeah! He wasn't feeling well, perhaps?
I'm not exactly sure. The first person that he talks to on the red carpet is the music supervisor. And it only takes a couple of seconds for him to ask a question, get an answer that he's completely not listening to, and then turn it back to himself and ask about himself.
Tell me a little bit about like how you compose a major motion picture like this. You know, it plays off a lot of the scenes that are going on, I'm sure, on the screen.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of music. It could be anything from rock to the big orchestral stuff. Just try to bring the emotion, trying to make it feel bigger and even more macho than it really is on screen.
That's awesome. Now, if I was an expendable and I popped up on screen,
that's whatever you just said is awesome. That's awesome. But let's talk about me. Let's say I was an expendable.
Classic.
No
Muggs.
Reference to what he just heard at all
because he didn't hear it. That's why Muggs is not paying any attention whatsoever to what's been said.
Now, if I was an expendable and I popped up on screen, what kind of musical overtones and undertones would you use to bring me and introduce me to the audience?
How about just what kind of music?
Zither music, you ask.
He doesn't know you, Muggs. Yeah. You know that, right? He doesn't know anything about you.
Well, if the legendary beer mug was an expendable, I would have to use a theremin.
Well, I was trying to get an answer just based on my appearance alone.
Right.
I think he'd have like a real deep beat with like a rock kind of Slayer guitar thing underneath it.
Great answer.
Great answer. I like that because it's about me.
You're hired.
Yeah.
What a nice
So when I come
guy.
On to the movie set, you'll be ready, huh? So Chuck Liddell comes up, and the beer mug has a second where, first of all, he likes to – everybody that he's ever met, I think in his mind, thinks they remember him. You know what I mean?
Is that true?
So we forget beer mug.
So we run into Chuck Liddell. We probably met him 4 or 5 times. I would not expect that he would recognize me on the street or know who I am or whatever. So beer mug always says, hey, nice to see you again. And everybody goes, nice to meet you. So anyway, that's a side note. This is actually a great answer. It was right after the Daniel Cormier, John Jones press conference. Mm-hmm. So he asks him about that, and Chuck Liddell gives a great answer.
The Iceman cometh. Chuck Liddell, how you doing, sir? Good. Long time no see.
How you doing, man?
I've been fantastic. Now, I got to say, first off, I love your Duralast battery commercial. Awesome. Make me laugh every time I see them.
Oh, I love it. They came to me with that. That was fun.
Great commercial. I hope you keep doing them. Now, real quick, Chuck, have you ever seen a press conference skirmish like you have with Cormier and Bones?
I said something. Actually, I said something to Jones in New York. I said, I don't understand what you guys are doing nowadays. You guys put your foreheads on each other. You don't. Hey, we're in a face-off. Hey, we can do a face-off as you get as close as you want. Yeah. Do not touch me. Yeah. You put your forehead, man. I thought Cormier was in his right to push him off him. Yeah. And I thought it was kind of a cheap shot for Jones to take a punch at him when the security was grabbing Cormier, and he punched him. He's free, and he punched him while some security grabbed him. I mean, I like John, and that was a cheap shot. I mean, to me, that's a cheap shot. The guy, security's got to hold him, throw a punch. Hey, you touched him with your forehead. I told him in New York, hey, someone puts the forehead on me, he's getting either pushed or hit. I mean, if I'm being nice, he's getting pushed.
There you go.
Not topical, bad. Timely, and relevant.
Not bad. Not a bad question.
Easy.
Great
easy.
Answer.
Topical, timely, and relevant are all the same thing.
Okay.
Once again,
a better answer than question. But okay, yeah. No problem. Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, the star of the movie and the writer, and he directs him too, right?
No, he doesn't write or direct at all.
Has no involvement.
Oh, Sylvester Stallone is who I was thinking about.
Sylvester Stallone,
different guy.
Ah. Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the guy that Muggs is going after, and he can't really get his attention because Arnold is just being ushered past all the people who don't matter. So here's his attempt.
Arnold, they're sneaking Arnold.
Ah, they're sneaking out of the way.
That'll do it.
Oh, Jesus.
Do your impression.
That's how you get a guy to come over.
Watch out, Ralph. Here I come.
Antonio Banderas, you would not expect a decent answer from him. Like, I wouldn't think it would be a good interview, really, even. But Muggs asked him a question. What is it like to shoot an action movie like this? And he has a great answer.
Mr. Banderas, Beer Mug, K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, I'm a huge fan. Really excited for Expendables 3. Tell me a little bit about how strenuous it was to film such an action-packed movie.
It was actually very relaxing.
Was it?
It was. You are working with a lot of people who are very successful. And when people taste already in their career success, they are more relaxed. It's more difficult to work with people who never get that. And then the set can be a very tense place to work. But all of these guys are very successful. Not only just with movies, with franchises. All of them has franchises. They came invited by the big boss, Sly Stallone. And we all had our thing to do, and we went. We did it.
So no big deal.
Wow. What a charming, nice man.
Yeah.
Easier to shoot action scenes because they've all been successful doing it.
Mm-hmm. Puts in boots right there.
Yep. Take it easy. That was a great that was a great answer. Now it's Zoe Saldana.
No. Zoe Bell.
Zoe Bell?
Yes.
Ah.
From Hi, me. Zoe. Good to see you again.
Nice to meet you.
When was the last time you came into Kevin B? Not that long ago.
Oh, actually, no. Yeah. Like, for Rays. I'm terrible with time.
Yes.
Like,
no, it's been... Oh, I'm sorry.
Recently.
All right. Now, at this point, he loses focus on what he's talking about, and he sees, I don't know, her purse or something. And he turns to Carlos, who's our cameraman, and starts having a little conversation with him about her purse.
That is... Look at this, Carlos. Yeah, what is it? Is that like a handbag clutch stabbing weapon?
Yes, I'm not going to open it because I don't know what will fall out. But yes, we call it a clutch or a weapon, depending on who's holding it.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. I'm really excited to.
What are you looking for? What do you look for when you're watching the movie? Like, to see their kind of stunt action, whatever.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back. He had a missed up a
couple
of times.
What do you look for with stunt action? Whatever.
First of all, what do you look for in a movie that you're in? I don't even. What the hell?
Yeah, that question made no sense.
The serious hell.
Oh, really?
And then it was right after Robin Williams. And it's a red carpet. It's a big movie premiere. Do you want to go there? I mean, I know it's relevant. I know it's hot. I know everybody's thinking about it. But...
On the Expendables 3 red carpet?
Yeah, exactly. So he doesn't want to bring people down. And real quickly is how he asked this question.
Real quick, since we got the tragic news of Robin Williams, not to bring it down. What was your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Dead Poets Society.
There you go. All right, I cut off the rest of it because she went on and on, and he went on and on, and she was like, "Oh, it's such a tragedy." And it was a terrible situation. I'm just not sure the red carpet is where you want to handle that situation. You know what I mean? Like, where you want to talk to him about it?
No, well, dude.
Muggs is a probing interviewer. He can't help.
That's true.
He's got to dig deep and
that
and
is true.
Go for the raw nerve.
Yeah.
Now this is Expendables 3. Don't forget, this is Randy Couture.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Couture, good to see you. Beer Mug from Kevin and Bean, K-Rock.
How are you, man?
Good to see you again, man. Yeah. So this is the third Expendables for you as Toll Road.
Yes.
Is there going to be a fourth one after this, or is this the final chapter?
I love it. I love the question. We haven't seen three yet. Is this four? Do you make it? Well, what do you want him to say? Do you want him to tell you if he dies that he's not going to move on, or they're not going to move on? Or
maybe a little tidbit
you
of
want
information.
A little tint. Now Sylvester Stallone is being rushed by him, and he's trying to get his attention.
Sly!
One question.
Mr. Stallone!
Okay, half a question.
Sly, I loved you in Oscar.
There you go. That was it.
I loved you in Oscar.
I loved
great
you in Oscar.
Movie.
Great movie.
Wait, Marissa, you were serious?
I love that movie.
Oh, my God.
But I thought you were kidding.
No.
So he would think, hey, this guy's funny.
No.
I'll go over and do an interview
You've
with
seen
him.
Oscar, right, Kevin?
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, it's not. Ralph, what do you think of
Unwatchable.
Oscar?
Unwatchable.
Unbelievable.
Lisa?
I got to agree with them.
I thought you were joking.
Ever. Bean, you like Oscar,
I liked
though.
You in Oscar. I thought it was a pretty good ad lib to get his attention.
Like I said, I loved you in Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Right.
Nobody, also a good movie.
Love you, Rhinestone.
Nobody liked that movie, so I thought you were joking. Wow. And then Beer Mugs wraps it up on the red carpet of the Expendables.
All right, so there you have it. Expendables 3. Didn't get everybody I wanted, but I got Mr. Banderas. I asked Mel G. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
All right, well, there you have it, the Expendables
3.
All right, so there you have it, the Expendables 3 red carpet world premiere. Didn't get everybody I wanted, but it's okay.
Because?
This is it. This is going to be the one.
Oh, do it again.
All right, so there you have it, the Expendables 3 world carpet.
There you go. That's it. Strong finish. Expendables world carpet.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Everything appears to finally be going our next guest's way. Sam, the Armenian comedian, as you know, has been trying to make his mark in the entertainment world for decades now. But now it's happening, Kevin, because Monday night he's got a regular gig at Jimmy's Place on San Fernando Boulevard in Burbank. He's got he's working with our friend GT in a band called The Night Train with some new music out. He's got a guy in Illinois who's writing a book about him.
What?
The Armenian comedian is on fire right now. Sam, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm all excited with all this project going on. Oh, yes.
It does seem like you've been biding your time, and now the time is right. Now the world has caught up with the magic that is the Armenian comedian.
And then Robin Williams says, I'm going to heaven.
Nope.
Here comes
Nope. Nope. No, sir. Hold on a second.
No, sir.
I have to hear how he saves this. Robin Williams did what now?
He went to heaven. He says, Sam, take over. I'm done in this earth. I'm going to heaven to do other shows over there.
Okay, so you're the heir apparent. You're handpicked by Robin Williams to be the next great entertainer.
Right.
Out of all the comedians that are still alive, you're the one.
Yeah.
So, Sam, tell me about this book that somebody's writing. Why is somebody doing that?
You know, he thinks that I'm icon because I invented many things that pleasured him because, masturbation.
Right, we know the best. Right.
Here's
which is just like hair clippers that you hold there. I mean, it's really not really much
So he's writing a book about you because he enjoyed your masturbation machine?
And also, I told him that there's an AIDS and HIV cure in Armenia.
Sure.
He went over there and came back.
Sure, wow.
And sent him with the FedEx box. I don't even believe it.
Sam has the same notes every single time.
I know it.
Cure for AIDS.
The other day in the Ding Dong Show comedy store, I did hypnotization. How you like that one?
I like hypnotization.
Sure. You can actually hypnotize somebody, Sam?
I did. You know what? The girl volunteered, I said, from the audience, a girl came in and I hypnotized her and looked deep in my eyes, raised your arm. And I said, what did you do when you were a little girl? Huh? Sent in the principal office.
He
said, I made a PPE.
What? You're saying?
I don't know. You're fading in and out. You're not using the phone properly this morning, Sam.
I think what he said was that he regressed her in time and she remembered peeing her pants or whatever when she was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a good use of hypnotization.
That's really not.
How do you hypnotize somebody, Sam?
You remember a long time ago, used to have a man hypnotize people?
Yeah, the amazing
Tom Silver, our friend Tom Silver, who is tremendous, yeah.
Yeah, he's tremendous, and I used his technique, sort of, you know.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know. Just add that to the list of things that Sam can do poorly.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. Wouldn't you mean? I would love to see
Absolutely.
Him.
I'd love to. Maybe we have to come to the Ding Dong Show and see some of that. All right. We don't have a lot of time here, Sam. We mentioned your Monday night gig at Jimmy's Place in Burbank. We also mentioned you're working with GT and a band called The Night Train. You got some new music out?
Yes. It's called Show Me Your Love. He wrote the song and I sang it. He writes the lyrics and I sing. So we are doing many songs. And also, Get on the Bus, the Sidecar Bandits, we're doing this August, recording another CD.
Wow. Kevin, do we have a little bit of the new,
we
new
do.
Tune?
Do you want to hear it? I mean,
Show Me Your Love, I do.
I don't think you do, but I'll play it.
Show me some love.
So you got that. Going for you. Now, Sam, when you hear that song, when you hear that played back to you, does it sound great?
Well, you know, you are going towards the beginning. You have to go a little more because if you play the whole song, then you will understand. Right now, it's just the beginning, you know?
I see. Yeah.
Okay. But that's
Samson, you can't get the full majesty of it from just a tiny clip.
That's fine, but I'm asking that clip. Does that sound good to you?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'm happy.
So what's it like being the new Robin Williams as we say goodbye, Sam?
You know what? Let me tell you about show business. Even though you are a superstar and all that, you have a lot of, on top of your head pressing you down. So it's not right.
Was he done?
Yeah.
All right.
Well said, Sam. Well said. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you. And then I would like to have a breakfast with you guys.
Nope.
Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit to the Kevin DeBean Show coming up later on today. Also, Ronda Rousey from Expendables 3 and your chance at Rise Against tickets in about 20 minutes or so from right now here on K-Rock. There has been an awful story that has been in the news, and I'm not just talking about what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, and that involves an adult film star named Christy Mack, who last Friday was assaulted by her boyfriend, former MMA fighter War Machine, and is in the hospital with the most horrific of injuries. 18 broken bones around her eyes, a broken nose in two places, several missing and broken teeth, a fractured rib, a ruptured liver, injuries to her leg and swelling. She's unable to walk on her own or chew due to the injuries.
Oh, my God.
Just a horrific beating by a guy, by the way, who has still not been apprehended and is essentially taunting law enforcement on social media while he's on the lam. There's a reward out for his information leading to his arrest. In the meantime, Christy Mack is in the hospital, obviously unable to work, and needs a lot of help. And that's why we wanted to bring on her friend Kendall Carson, also an adult film star, who is doing what she can to spread the word about this horrific beating and help her friend Christy out. Kendall, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Thanks so much for getting up so early for us.
No, thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to get the word out about Christy.
Absolutely. Your friend Sam wrote to us and gave us a little insight as to what you guys were doing and wanted to have you on. First of all, most importantly, how's Christy doing right now? She's been in the hospital now for almost a week. Is it looking pretty good for her?
You know, I'm actually not at liberty to speak about her current condition. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people out there just want the best for her and to see her being, you know, doing well.
Right.
But unfortunately, I can't speak to that.
Okay. Tell us why you decided to jump in online the way you have to raise money for her.
Well, when I first learned that Christy may have been the victim of a domestic violence altercation, I was sickened to see that people had been sending her such abusive hate messages, blaming her for being beaten on Twitter. So I strongly voiced my opinion that there is no excuse for violence towards women under any circumstances. Domestic violence is actually a cause that I stand fiercely for and is near and dear to my own heart and that I have fundraised for in the past. So once she posted the gruesome details of the horrific events that had taken place, I was shocked to find that there was nothing already out there in place for me to be able to donate or help. So I immediately started the Give Forward Medical Fund for her so that I could donate and show my own support. You know, I've had family members who have been in the hospital and in intensive care, and I know how costly the medical bills can be and how stressful that can be on a family. And right now, the only thing that's important is her recovery, and she should be focused on that and not the bills that are accruing for her or her family.
And by the way, the bills are super important to take care of, but another side effect of this kind of thing, this domestic abuse, is long-term mental problems.
Right.
I mean, it
the
really is.
Emotional and mental scars will last with her forever.
Yep.
After she receives all the treatment that she needs. And a lot of people don't understand that adult film entertainers are actually independent contractors, and most of them don't have insurance. So what this medical fund is for allowing her to pay for any of the out-of-pocket expenses that she and her family are incurring, and also to be able to help get that therapy that she needs and be able to support her during the time that she's having to take off from work. People can go and donate to the GiveForward.com fund by searching on the site for Christy Mack Medical Fund.
Okay, and let me spell that for our listeners, Kendall. It's Christy, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, and then Mack is M-A-C-K. So Christy Mack's Medical Fund is what you look for at GiveForward.com. Now, you started out looking, you're hoping to raise $100,000. It's a lot of money. How are you doing as of today?
Yeah, we started with a $10,000 goal. I had no idea in my wildest dreams that it would get so big so quickly and so many people. It's been overwhelming, the outpour that have been wanting to help her. So we actually broke $10,000 just in the first 8 hours on Twitter. We raised $28,000 in less than 24 hours. and we've raised over $50,000 in 48 hours and are currently just above $50,000.
Which is awesome, but it's also unbelievable how fast the medical community can go through that money.
Yeah, no kidding.
True.
So, so you're halfway to your goal of $100,000 right now.
That's correct. And, I mean, I'm going to keep trying to raise money for her as much as I can, even if we do break the $100,000 mark, because, again, as you stated, it is so costly, not just for the medical expenses, but the long term as well.
Now, Kendall,
people know, because I've had a lot of questions about this, the money is only managed by Christy. She's the only one who has access to it. And this fundraiser is actually the only fundraiser that the family endorses for any type of donation. So there have been several fraudulent accounts out there that have been made.
Oh,
I see. And we strongly advise that you do not donate to those.
Okay. I suspect you might not want to answer this based on your reaction to my first question about Christy's condition, but do you know anything at all more about where War Machine is or how close the authorities are to locating him? Because, I mean, obviously there's a big reward out there for him, and I'm sure a lot of people are looking for him. Have you heard anything on that?
You know, I'm actually not allowed to speak to that as well, just to help with the case. But I do know that Dog the Bounty Hunter has been incredible in being so public and just on top of the case and really trying to help the family catch him. The bounty is actually up to $20,000 now. So there have been some big contributors to that, including Fleshlight, who donated $5,000, and Pawn Stars out of Vegas, who donated another $10,000 out of their own pocket to help catch War Machine.
That's wonderful. You know, this always happens where a horrific crime occurs, and then you look at the person involved and you go, why didn't anyone see this before? And the more we see come out in the press about War Machine and his past run-ins with with the law and other domestic abuse cases, I mean, he literally goes on Twitter and talks about wanting to rape and kill people. It's just it's almost unbelievable to me that a guy like that was just out walking around in the public.
Absolutely. No, it's absolutely reprehensible, not only what he's done, but what he still continues to do by torturing her and his tweets and his fans that are saying the most atrocious things to her. I only get a fraction of, you know, what she's getting by being a part of this fundraiser, and I'll gladly take that any day to support her and stand up for her and every woman who's been a victim of domestic violence, because we need to stop the victim blaming and we need to stop the dehumanization of Christy, because people are so mean to her by saying, well, she's a porn star. It doesn't matter what her profession is. What matters is the fact that she's a woman, she's a daughter, she's a sister, she's a friend. And if it was anybody else's mother, daughter, sister, friend, or significant other, they wouldn't be throwing the same stones at her as they are.
That is so beautifully put, Kendall. Thank you so much for joining us. Kendall Carson on the line. She, of course, AVN nominee for Best New Starlet last year. Congratulations, Kendall. And she is doing a wonderful thing today, raising money for her friend Christy Mack for the Medical Expense Fund. You can go to giveforward.com and write in Christy Mack Medical Fund, and that'll bring up the page if you want to make a donation. And maybe, you know, maybe send some encouraging words to Christy's way, too, as she faces her long recovery from the hospital. Kendall, so glad you got up early to talk to us. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. We're happy to spread the word today, okay?
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:52.
I know in that last conversation we were having with Kendall Carson, there's a lot of names and web addresses and everything. Sometimes it's hard to remember or write down or something like that. So we are tweeting that out, a direct link, if you want to make a donation for Christy Mack at the Give Forward account. So just follow us on Twitter at Kevin and Bean, and we'll put it up on the Facebook page as well. It's Thursday. Rob is here now. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It never ceases to amaze me how in this day and age people still can't separate violence from sexuality as if there's any sort of connection between the two whatsoever.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's very disturbing and stomach-turning. Let's talk about happier things, like the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, Awesome Mix Volume 1, number one album in America this
week. Is that
right?
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. I'm stunned that people like Kevin haven't turned up their nose to the soundtrack of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is primarily 60s and 70s tunes. Awesome 60s and 70s
tunes.
They're
the best of, and it's used so well in the movie.
It's great in the film, and the sequel obviously will have Volume 2 as well. So, yeah, congratulations. Over 100,000 copies sold for that first week. Very impressive.
That is pretty cool.
Imagine what it's like, by the way, if you're in the band Blue Swede and you've been, you know, living in the retirement home or something like that. Nobody's heard of you for 35 years. And then all of a sudden you get a call that goes, yeah, we're going to put your song in a movie soundtrack. And it's the number one album in America now.
Yeah. Although I wonder what they get out of that. Usually it's the songwriters who get the biggest chunk out of that stuff. And didn't B.J. Thomas write that or something?
He did the original version of it, but I don't think either one of them wrote it. Yeah. I think it was, you know, just a songwriting team.
I was glad to hear Cherry Bomb in the mix. I haven't heard that song in a while. It was awesome.
Cherry Bomb. Runaway.
Was
Runaway. Great
song. Yeah.
It was a good soundtrack.
It was a great soundtrack.
It's a fun movie. I'm Not in Love? Come on.
Yep. Various artists. Now that's what I call music volume 51, second. On the Billboard 100 list.
Okay.
There's 51 volumes of that stuff. Godsmacks, 1000 HP, in their debut, they're third on the list. Then Spoon, They Want My Soul, and 5 Seconds of Summer with their titular debut album, 5 Seconds of Summer, fifth on the list. Kendall Jenner, she is one of the heinous Kardashians. She's an 18-year-old spoiled witch. Here's the interesting story. She apparently was eating at a restaurant called the Mercer Kitchen last week.
Okay.
And she walked out on the bill. Now, the waitress claimed she had to chase after her, because anybody in the service business knows it's very likely that if you get skipped on, you have to pick up the check. You have to pay the restaurant.
That's crazy.
That happens that way. So not every restaurant does it that way, but some do. So she chases her after outside and says, you didn't pay your bill. Now, the waitress claims Kendall Jenner rolled her eyes, huffed, pulled out some money, and threw it in her face.
Nice.
Now, Kendall Jenner says, here's what actually happened. I was extremely apologetic and gladly paid what I owed, $33 plus a $7 tip, and I politely handed it to her. Now, Kendall Jenner's lawyer is threatening to sue the waitress for defamation of character because she told the story that Kendall Jenner threw the money in her face.
Wow.
Now, given all things being equal, who do you believe in this situation?
Yeah, no kidding. The waitress.
I hope I get on that jury if it goes to trial. Because I'll be death penalty!
I don't think that's one of the options for this.
Well, I'll make it. That's why I went to law school.
You know how you can avoid this?
That kind of thing.
Is you pay your bill before you go.
Right. And then no one can accuse you of doing anything.
Right.
And this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
What?
But did you see Taylor Swift on Jimmy Fallon?
I did not.
She did a sketch with Jimmy Fallon called Ew. Are you familiar with this? Where Jimmy Fallon pretends to be a teenage girl.
Yes.
And he's got like a cable access show.
Where I think started it on Saturday Night Live.
It's like Wayne's World or something. And first of all, he's awful. Look, I've been trying to hold my tongue for a long time because I think there's some very clever sketches they do in that show and some clever bits and everything, but he's awful. He is just anti-funny.
Really?
I don't get it at all. And he's especially awful in this sketch.
I like Jimmy Fallon. I think he's very talented.
Right, you're wrong. But in this sketch,
he's not a great interviewer, but I hate
horrible.
This sketch and,
he's horrible.
And always have.
It's a horrible interview. He's just horrible in general.
Oh, you hate this too, Bean?
I've always hated this
sketch.
Well,
he doesn't even do anything. He just goes, he just makes a series of noises. It's just unwatchable.
Right.
But Taylor Swift in this sketch is remarkably good. Just charming and funny and performs well.
But only
and
compared.
Was sweet. No, I thought that too. And I watched it again. And she's really a good little actress who's trying to put something into this just flimsy nothing of a sketch.
Really?
And I was very impressed by her performance.
Wow.
Anyway, it's up online if you want to check it out. But I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by how entertaining and charming and committed she is to her character, especially in the face of Jimmy Fallon. He's got freaking Tourette's.
Taylor apparently loves this sketch and filmed her own
now
audition.
I hate her again. Now I can hate her again.
You guys will find this interesting because she's a big star, right? She filmed her own audition to be on this sketch last week and put it up online asking if she could do an ooh sketch because she likes it so much and she wanted to play this character, Natalie. So apparently last night was the night it finally happened.
She's bad again then.
She's bad again. Yeah. She liked that sketch. She's horrible. I'm glad. Now I feel better. I felt bad thinking that maybe I was softening on her, but now I realize that she's awful on everybody.
Won't surprise you that picture is my Twitter avatar today, by the way, of her from that sketch.
Just keep moving like
that.
Why
do you push
happen?
Him over the edge like that?
He does that on purpose.
It's just that
he
one, it. It's the one it on last thing you throw in there.
He knows what
just
he's
love
doing.
Her so much. That's all.
Right. He knows.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dave Crosby of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He is 73 years old today. Actor Steve Martin turned 69.
Hey, Ralph Berman. Is David Crosby the old man who was a sperm donor and impregnated like 20,000 women around the world? Wasn't he the guy that we found out was like donating sperm to like all these women
yes.
a few years ago?
Yes.
He's the guy.
Are you exaggerating with 20,000 though?
No, it was some crazy number. I don't remember what the exact number was, but apparently he was very prolific.
Isn't he the sperm donor for Melissa Etheridge's
yes.
kid?
Yes, I think so.
Right.
Yeah. I think so too, yeah.
Steve Martin is 69. Marsha Gay Harden is 55 years old today, as is Magic Johnson. Halle Berry's 48. Catherine Bell is 46 years old. Lamorne Morris from New Girl is 34. Mila Kunis is 31. And our own DJ Omar Khan. Remember when he used to work here?
Oh, those were good times. Days, huh?
Good times when Omar Khan used to be here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is 36 years old today. Happy birthday, Omar. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out if you want to go to see Rise Against. We have your tickets. You can call now 1-800-520-1067. You will have to play a game. You will have to identify their music, basically. So if you're a fan, give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play next.
Baby showers for guys is the topic later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, how can we get Brittany, Miss Double December 2014, to take the Ice Bucket Challenge? Dr. Drew on the program, and what's up with Florida? It's all coming up on K-Rock.
First, time to give away some tickets for Rise Against with a game we're calling Just a Second.
Just a Second!
That's it.
Wait,
all right.
That's the whole theme song?
Just a Second!
Just a Second. That's all you get.
The band is playing the Wiltern on September 16th and 17th. They are a great live band, as any Rise Against fan probably knows by now. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10. If you want to win them, though, we are playing this brand new game. And I always am very excited when we debut a new game because it's got about a 50-50 success rate on
new
games.
Oh, please. We're at 20-80 at success on new games.
The callers are lined up, Kevin. What is it we're going to be asking them to do?
We're going to play
Just a Second
of a Rise Against song. We're going to play you 1 second of a Rise Against song. You just have to give us the title of the song.
Is that all I have to do?
That's it.
Awesome.
That sounds easy.
Title of the song.
How about this? If this isn't giving too much away, is it the first second of the song or is it anywhere in the song?
I'm not positive, but I would guess it's the first second.
Okay. All right. So when a Rise Against song comes on the radio, you know that song because you love that band. You're the perfect contestant we're looking for. And we'll start out with Jose. Jose's on line one. He's up first from Van Nuys.
Hi, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
You ready for
Just a Second?
You are our first ever contestant on a brand new game, so listen carefully. We'll play it for you twice, and then you tell us what the title is. If you're right, you go into the drawing to win the tickets at the Wiltern, okay?
Okay.
Here's your clip.
Good luck. It kills me not.
One more time.
It kills me not.
Just a second!
What is that, Jose?
I know the song.
I'm so sorry.
It kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten.
Yeah.
How is it called? Savior.
I would not win any of these games.
No, neither would I. Our listeners are way better at this than we are. Thank you for playing anyway, Jose. Who's up next?
Caesar in Pomona. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Did you get that last one?
I guess, yeah.
I guess.
Look, if we can't prove it, just say yes.
Yeah, good point. All right, you ready for
Just a Second?
We'll give it a shot.
Here you go. One more time.
Oh, that's not a good thing. Well, it's not an AC/DC song, so let's go with the good Left Undone.
I'm sorry. Now, last time I played the clip. Did I do that wrong, Bean? Are we going to go to another caller? Or do you want me to play the clip?
We can do it however the hell we want.
All right. This is the song, then.
Let's play another clip.
Give It All is the name of that.
Give It All is the one we were looking for there. But thanks for playing anyway. Nice try. We appreciate it.
All right.
Just a Second.
Let's go to Jose. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
I'll just play a little game.
We're 0-2
right.
So far.
Happy birthday, Omar.
Good. Thank Absolutely. You. 1 second of a Rise Against song. Tell us what the title is. You're in the drawing to win tickets to see him at the Wiltern.
That is Re-Education Through Labor.
Yeah, it's not.
I know what it is. Never mind.
Yeah, it's this song.
Ready to fall.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, sad. Prayer for the Refugee. Wrong again, but thank you.
Happy birthday, Omar.
Happy birthday, Omar. All right, we got it. Could you concentrate more on your song?
The guy's awfully hot for Omar.
Wow. Let's go to Joe in Rancho Santa Margarita. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Joe.
Are you ready for your clip?
I think so.
All right, here you go. One more time.
Is that satellite?
It is satellite.
It is satellite. Yay. Nicely done.
I was just going to say, this game is harder than we thought it was going to be, but not for Joe. He is in the drawing for Wiltern tickets ahead of the on sale at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Well done, Joe. Who's next?
All right, we go to Christy in Long Beach. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
Are you ready to play?
Just a second.
I am.
All right. Here's your Rise Against song. You tell us the title. One more time.
Are you kidding me? Did you give me the hardest one?
I don't know, but if you don't know it, I guess the answer is yes.
I'll do Make It Stop.
Sorry.
That was Ready to Fall, which might be their most popular song. I'm a little bit surprised you didn't get that.
Me too.
Okay, thank you for calling. We got time for a couple more, I think, contestants. Joe's already in the drawing. Who might join him?
All right, I'm confused on where we are, by the way, because I thought that was a different song. All right, let's go to Marvin. Hi there.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready for...
Just a second!
Oh, yeah, I'm stoked. I got this.
Here you go. One more time.
Yep. What is it?
I know there's always another song. I had all the lights except for this one.
What's it called? Share the title with us.
I'm blanking.
Oh, no. Help is on the way.
Help is on the way is what's called. All right. One more. Got time for one more contestant.
By the way, if one more contestant doesn't get it, then we have an automatic winner.
Yes,
no
drawing.
That's right.
Let's go to Steven. Hi there. Hello, Steven. No Steven.
Congratulations, Joe.
Yay,
way to be.
Joe,
way to go. And thanks for playing the first ever game of
Just a Second.
Beer Mug.
Bean Baxter.
Muggs, you make a lot of bad choices, but when you came in on Monday and I said, hey, how was your weekend, buddy? And you told me about an event that you had gone to, I felt like you bottomed out.
Really? Well, that was like the worst decision you've ever made?
There's been a lot of bad decisions.
That beats waking up in a bush?
How did you, Beer Mug, end up at a baby shower?
Well, my good friend Jason and his lovely bride Ashley invited me to a co-ed baby shower. And normally, it has bad stigma around it, but it was awesome. We had a great time. There was a taco truck there.
She's listening, right? I mean, let's be honest.
No, she's not. No. There was a taco truck there, a bunch of families,
sure, that
young,
was great.
Old, beer. It was a great time. And the good thing about a co-ed baby shower is when it comes time for, you know, the girls to swoon over the new gifts and the expecting mother... The guys go outside and play cornhole, and the girls go inside.
I'm sorry, what are
cornhole
you playing?
Cornhole is a game with bean bags that you throw. It's not.
I thought cornhole is how the baby got.
No,
that's a safe way of doing a bean.
Yeah,
oh, that's right. That's the way you don't get a bean. Okay, I gotcha.
So you don't have to be involved with any of the girly stuff. You can go off on the side.
Let me stop you there. Having said that, then why is it not two events? It sounds like you're trying to have two separate events under the same roof at the same time. Why not just split them up?
Well, it's because it's nice to have everybody there. The girlfriends, the boyfriends, the husbands and the wives. You party
you
all.
You can do that anytime.
Right, but you party all together at the beginning, and then at the end you split up.
You have to play little games, like
no.
Where you drink beer out of a baby bottle or any of that nonsense?
That didn't happen. Although, DJ Omar Khan, for his first kid, he had a co-ed baby shower.
Yeah.
Also had a taco truck and tons of beer, which was awesome.
But what you do, by the way, what you're doing is saying, this is going to suck for everybody, so I'm going to get a taco truck and beer and other distractions.
Hey, that's
so, so that they don't understand they're having a terrible time.
You're right. As long as there are incentives like taco trucks and beer, right. I'm all in.
How bad can it be with taco trucks and beer?
Absolutely.
Well, it's right. much better, but baby showers are not for guys.
But being, I mean, you're talking about throwing two separate parties. That's a lot of work. One is a whole lot easier.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, I guess that makes sense. And let me ask you this, Lisa, because you know women.
Yes.
And I don't mean to be a Neanderthal. I know that... fathers are a lot more involved now than they ever were. Fathers do a lot more. I mean, there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago in this country, where fathers weren't even there when the baby was born.
Right.
I mean, clearly yeah. dads have gotten a lot more involved in the process. Am I just being a Neanderthal to think that the dad doesn't have any interest in little baby bottles and little breast pumps and little towels to put on the kid's head and stuff like that? I mean, it just seems like that's not the type of stuff that a dad's going to be using, really, I think.
No, I think he will be involved with some of that.
Oh, yeah, he will be involved.
Yeah.
Is he interested ahead of time? Absolutely not.
No, but they are a family.
Yes.
And this is a family experience. It's going
right.
to change their lives forever.
Right.
So
I mean, I
celebrating
both,
it together
no,
is kind of nice.
I get that both people are having the baby.
Yeah.
I get that. But it's not the same experience for the man as it is for the woman.
No,
and I don't know. It seems to me like we're trying to make it the same experience.
But Muggs is pointing out that you're not making it the same, that you can have everybody there together and still create two different experiences.
But can't you just have women there?
What's your problem? Have a taco and shut up.
Yeah. I don't want to go to a baby shower.
You're such a damn baby.
Okay.
You should go to the baby shower.
Why?
You should diaper you.
We're going to take some calls
what just
from
happened?
People. We're going to take some calls from people who have been to baby showers either as a man or with men, I guess, is what we're looking for, right?
By the way, and don't get us started on the other topic, which is only men.
Oh, I'm going to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But let me give out the phone number.
All
we want to hear your thoughts on men at baby showers and your personal experience at 1-800-520-1067. Yes, what Kevin is referring to is a thing, apparently, and I don't know how popular it is in Southern California yet, but it's called the man shower. The man shower. I know it sounds like something Mike Catherwood would want to do.
Yeah, I read it this weekend.
The man shower is exactly what you think it is. It's a baby shower for dudes. Think beer diaper cake centerpieces, stroller Olympics, invitations with themes like Huggies for Chuggies or A Baby is Brewing. The latest trend blowing up on Pinterest. Apparently you can drink beer out of baby bottles while the guest of honor wears a T-shirt that says The Man Behind the Bump. That, ladies and gentlemen, is
That's
how
happening.
You know the terrorists have already won.
That's happening. It's all guys, and women are not included.
So it's just a guy party. Do they get presents and
that
stuff?
Is look, can we all agree, including you, Lisa, that that's nonsense?
Yeah, that's dumb.
Well, it just sounds like an excuse for a bunch of guys to get together.
You don't need that.
That's okay.
Yeah, but you can get together, Lisa, and exclude all of the stroller Olympics bullcrap.
Just stupid
yeah.
games and stuff.
And just have tacos
but do you get presents?
I don't
think
know.
You do. I mean,
who
I
cares?
Think that, I think you're,
it's expensive to have a baby. You need all that stuff.
Barbecue, babies, and beer is one popular theme, as are poker themes where the buy-in is diapers and wipes.
No!
There
no.
you go. That's a perfect
I'll see your diaper and I'll raise you a wipe. Come
hey,
on.
You want to talk to Fernando? He's on line 3 in Valencia who knows all about the man showers.
Love it. Hey, Fernando.
Hey. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
So you went to a man-only baby shower?
Yeah, we're actually going to have one this weekend for one of my cousins. We call them diaper parties over here.
Diaper parties?
And what are they like?
Yeah, so, and why do they exist?
Okay, well, the wife or the pregnant lady is having her diaper party somewhere else.
Right.
So this gives us permission to go and get together. But we all bring diapers for the men. So it kind of helps him out because diapers cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
And so we all come together and we'll bring him just a bunch of different diapers, all kinds of sets. I mean, all ages for it.
Right.
And we get together, we drink, we play poker most of the time.
You know what you should do is
we'll
you should
have a little hold'em tournament or something.
You know what you should do is you should mail them diapers and then play poker and drink beer.
Kevin.
My name's Kevin.
Whichever one you are.
You are.
it's a bad idea, Fernando. You're not going to enjoy it.
By the way, Fernando sounds like he's completely into it.
Oh, yeah.
He's comfortable. He's looking forward to it.
I think he planned it. That's why.
He's involved.
Fernando, there's nothing about this that sounds awful.
No, nothing at all. I mean, it's a cool get-together. Plus,
are you the father-to-be? Are you the father-to-be?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
Unbelievable that you care that much about another man's baby. It's unbelievable. I'm serious about that.
But it helps out. I mean, honestly, if I have two older brothers that we did the same thing for them every year or all the time they had kids.
But, Fernando, honestly, here's what I would say. If I was your friend and you invited me to this party, here's what I would say. How much money do you want for diapers so that I don't have to go to that party?
And you could
name your price and I'd pay it. Well, Fernando, I can't tell whether you're an embarrassment to men or if you're just a highly evolved human and the rest of us are just dragging our knuckles on the ground. I can't tell where this is going. But thank you for the call. We appreciate you weighing in. 1-800-520-1067. Men at the baby showers, either co-ed or man only. What's up? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Brittany, Miss Double December 2014 here on the Kevin Devine Show, joins us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk to her about her ice bucket challenge. By the way, Kevin got called out yesterday online for an ice
bucket
challenge.
Stupid Dr. Drew. I've always hated that guy.
Sounds like you may be getting wet later on today, Kevin. In the meantime, we're talking about guys going to baby showers. It's bad enough that we found out that co-ed baby showers have been happening. Now there's something called man shower, which is just for the dudes. No ladies involved in it's a baby shower. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
If there's a hell, that's it.
I think you're
right. A men-only baby shower. If there's a hell, that's where you go.
Let's go to Kristen in Long Beach, by the way. Now, this is an interesting opinion that maybe you might not have expected, but she is a woman who hates baby showers. Now, I was led to believe that the chicks are all about the baby showers. They like nothing better than ooing and aahing over a kid that hasn't arrived yet. Hi, Kristen.
I won't go anymore.
Hi, great. How are you guys?
Hey, Kristen.
Wait, Lisa, you won't go anymore?
Nope, I've drawn the line. I've been to enough. I'm not doing it again.
In my experience as well, Kristen, women hate baby showers. Too.
Yeah, no, it is true. I mean, like Lisa, I've gone to enough of them in my life, and I actually had my kid a little late. I was 40, mm-hmm. and I just did not want the stereotypical baby shower where you sit there and you ooh and ah over the gift.
Yes.
And it takes forever for them to unwrap them. I've heard all of the complaints.
Exactly. So what we did is we actually had it at a friend's house, and we had the taco guy, and we did not open gifts. We just basically hung out. We had beer. Well, I didn't, but everybody else did. And we had a couple of games, one of which was who could suck the beer out of the baby bottle the fastest.
Yeah.
And that was basically it. It was just a get-together. The majority of my friends are guys, and I didn't want them to miss out on this experience. And they may not have wanted to come, but I think they were pleasantly surprised.
Anybody that showed up because they like you,
they
Kristen.
Showed up, and then they had a good time, right. And you know, everybody just kind of hung out and drank and ate and socialized, and it was exactly what I wanted.
Take it easy with the good time. All right.
Now, Kristen, I have to ask this question. I know maybe it's probably obvious, but if none of the men want to ever go to baby showers, and you're saying that most women don't want to go to baby showers, why do they exist? Why are they a thing that anyone puts anyone through ever?
I think it's just of a given now. It's, you know, expected. And, I mean, honestly, it is very helpful. I mean, we can't afford all the stuff that comes with it. And when people go in on a large gift, like a high chair or things like that for you, it's a huge help.
I'm saying, my thing is, tell me what you need. I'll go in on it, and then we can avoid the whole shower part.
You can't do that. That's just rude.
Why is it rude?
Okay, send me money. That
friends,
doesn't work.
I'm not having a party, but here's what I need.
No, I would ask you. I would say to you, Kristen, I know you're going to have a baby. And that you probably are going to have a baby shower. What is it that you want the most? Because I'm going to write a check and I'm not coming. Is that rude?
At least they get free tacos and free beer out of it.
All
and
right.
A few of them got prizes, like $25 gift cards and bottles of wine. So you kind of can't beat that.
You're trying to dress it up.
There's no other place to get tacos and beer, I'll tell
you're
you that.
You're putting the lipstick shower on a pig. That's what you're doing. It's not working.
Thank you, Kristen. We appreciate you listening and appreciate the call as well. Let's go to Nick. He's on line 5. He's in Fullerton. He apparently was dragged to a co-ed baby shower. Let's get his perspective on it.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, how you doing? Good morning.
Good. Hello.
You were dragged to a co-ed baby shower.
That's a lie. I didn't show up. I was kicking and screaming about it, and I complained until the last minute and I didn't show up. My friend said he was going to disown me.
Your friend was throwing a co-ed baby shower, and you said that you would go, but then you didn't.
Yes.
You made the right decision.
Okay. Not sure why you're on our phone, but thank you anyway. Appreciate that. Let's go to April in Long Beach. She's on line 8. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, April.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Hi, Dan.
You tell us.
Well, it's going fantastic. I'm out of traffic now.
Ah, beautiful.
So I threw a co-ed baby shower because my husband and I have a lot of mutual friends, and it was fantastic. It was just barbecuing and hanging out. We played a couple games, like pin the sperm on the uterus.
All those.
And it was awesome.
I think the games is what drives me crazier than anything
else. Too.
Those stupid games.
Wouldn't the party have been better? Be honest with me, April. Wouldn't the party have been better without pin the sperm on the uterus? I mean, come on.
No.
That's pretty funny.
It's so uncomfortable that I had a great time walking in.
All right. Your friends are talking behind your back. I have bad news for you.
Correct.
You think it was a great party, but they're like, oh my God, F in April with that party. I guarantee that's what's going on. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate that. This listener writes in, Arnie, most Mexican baby showers are a joint thing. The dad wears a pin with a baby on it. We do games for prizes like drinking beer out of the bottle or guessing the candy bar in the diaper. Again,
guessing
the candy bar in the diaper is bad, right?
No, yeah. Can you? Is there anything you can do where you're not playing that?
It's another excuse to get together and drink, plus more people equals more presents for the baby. And maybe that's what it is. It's a public humiliation that everyone agrees to go along with just so that there's some sort of comfortable way for you to buy a gift for the baby. I guess that's what this is
all about. And the moms and the dads, let's be honest, need a lot of those gifts because it's too expensive.
True.
So they throw these bogus parties in the hopes that it covers up the fact that they need gifts.
Exactly. All right. So stop or keep doing it?
Stop.
I don't know
what
you're
doing.
No, I'm good.
Okay,
keep
stop
going.
Just stop it. Let me know what you want and I'll write it to you.
106.7.
Hey!
Wow.
Yeah.
We got to get together on that, don't we?
Yeah, you got to get together on
that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. And the man behind the hey is Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Ah, sad news. Arlene Martel has passed away.
Wait, who?
I don't know who that
is. Arlene Martel.
She is, and we would know her from...
T'Pring.
And we would know T'Pring from...
Amok Time.
And that would mean...
What?
That's a book?
You people. Don't you remember Amok Time, the Star Trek episode where Spock is going into Ponfar, his seven-year mating cycle?
No.
Vulcans have to mate every 7 years.
Yes,
that's
I remember
right.
that.
That's right. Spock gets all super horny.
That's right. And he loses his mind. He gets crazy. And they have to go back to Vulcan... where he is supposed to meet his betrothed. They have these arranged marriages on Vulcan, and T'Pring was supposed to be his wife. But while he's off gallivanting around the universe on the Enterprise, T'Pring has fallen in love with another man on Vulcan, and Spock has to battle him to the death.
So that was a thing that happened on a TV show?
Yes.
And who died?
T'Pring died. Arlene
the
Martel,
who played the Vulcan on the planet who was being fought over.
Yes,
yes,
Quark is a nerd.
And then the guy who's in love with Spock's betrothed wife picks Kirk to be his surrogate in the fight. So Spock has to fight Kirk to the death.
But they didn't fight you to death.
No, thanks to Bones, smart-thinking Bones.
Who gives, what did Bones do?
He gives Kirk what is supposed to be like an oxy compound because of the thinner atmosphere of Vulcan.
Right.
But in reality, gives him a drug that emulates death and makes it appear as if Kirk is dead.
Oh, I see.
Fake Spock out.
So then Spock thinks he's dead and quits.
Right.
But he's not dead, and
so the
series goes on.
Yeah, exactly.
And who dies?
Can people who hate Star Trek leave?
Yes, please. You all leave. Arlene Martel, the talented actress who played T'Pring all those years ago.
Yeah, I'm very, very disappointed in that news.
Thank you.
Finally, very depressing.
I got through. Mm-hmm. Got through to you.
Yeah.
And Chip must be bummed out because American Horror Story has cast the world's smallest woman in their upcoming season.
Oh, come on.
Second, you mean the world's second smallest.
I'm just thinking. She missed out. This is her opportunity to be on television. Yeah. And someone else got it.
She auditioned for that, and she was half an inch too tall.
Yeah. The show is about a circus freak show this season set in Florida. And yesterday, Ryan Murphy tweeted that 20-year-old Jyoti Amaj, the world's smallest woman according to the Guinness Book of World Records, was joining the cast. She is 2 feet tall.
Wow.
2 feet even.
To put that in. Well, not even. 2 feet and six tenths of an inch.
Oh, my God.
So she's just a hair over 2 feet.
Comedian Brad Williams is 4'4".
Right.
So she's
Chip is like 2.5 feet tall.
Yes.
So she's like 6 inches smaller than Chip.
Wow. Now, 100 years ago, a woman like that would have made her living touring the country in a circus as part of a freak show, and someone would pay 50 cents to go see her.
Yes.
Is this better that we're putting her on TV because she's a freak?
And she's playing a freak in a freak show that people are paying 50 cents a piece to go look at. But she's getting paid at least SAG scale.
Yeah, right.
Scale, she's doing better.
Doing better, Chip.
Doing better
than
that.
Tell you
that. Yeah, doing better, Chip, for sure. And more television
news.
That's going
to be creepy, that series this time.
Yes, it is. I love it.
As opposed to the other two seasons that weren't creepy. Those were just jolly romps through the park.
Yeah, that's true.
Nashville fans will be pleased to hear there's going to be nothing held back in the upcoming season of the show. Hayden Panettiere will not be hiding her baby bump. The pregnancy will be written into the plot line, so you won't see Hayden Panettiere carrying a lot of baskets of laundry or anything trying to hide her pregnancy. She apparently is going to get knocked up on the show as well as in real life. So,
all right.
Which is awesome, because it'd be like any number of guys could get her pregnant on that show.
That's true.
It could be the rich guy that she goes to get the who owns all the television stations.
Sure,
it could be her boyfriend, who's Scarlett's ex boyfriend. What's his name?
That guy, Tool. Sure, that guy.
Who knows? Could be any number.
Could be that record producer guy, Jeff.
Right. Remember that one night stand they had at that party.
Yeah.
That's right.
Anything could happen, man. Let me tell you more about Tapring. So anyway, they're on Vulcan.
I think we covered it.
We did exhaust Tapring.
And you know who the high priestess is who lords over the ceremony?
We don't know that.
You do know that.
We don't care.
T'Pau.
T'Pau.
And T'Pau, of course, was the inspiration later on for the name of the band.
The band
T'Pau, who had to smash it with heart and soul. So it all comes back around again.
Wow. That's a long way to go for a not interesting fact.
Next hour, I'll be playing a little bit of Heart and Soul by T'Pau.
Fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan.
Hey, what?
You must be a devil with the ladies.
I am. Today's celebrity birthdays: David Crosby's 73. Actor Steve Martin is 69. Marcia Gay Harden turns 55, as does Magic Johnson. Halle Berry's 48. Catherine Bell is 46. Lamorne Morris is 34 years old. Mila Kunis turns 31. And DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
I used to like that guy when he was alive.
He was a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been 36 years old today had he lasted. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up with Florida? Also, Ronda Rousey joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show talking Expendables 3. And will she ever find a woman to give her a decent fight in the octagon? All of that coming up here on the Kevin DeBean Show. But first, you've always hated that bastard, Dr. Drew, right, Kevin?
He's an asshole.
Right? Are we agreed on that?
No. I think we're kidding.
We're kidding.
Dr. Drew.
That's what I meant. We love him.
In fact, we're going to be talking to him next hour as well here on the show. But he called you out in a very public way on Twitter yesterday, and now the ball's in your court. You have been challenged to the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Now, the Ice Bucket Challenge is a way to raise money for a charity. And Dr. Dre. That'd be a lot cooler. Dr. Drew explains what it is, and then basically you have to dump an entire bucket of ice water on your head.
Ugh.
Or somebody else has to do it. And it looks brutal, and you call out three other people, and apparently I'm one of Dr. Drew's choices.
Kerry Keegan, I accept your ice water challenge because, amongst other things, ALS is a very serious illness, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease, a neurodegenerative disorder. We're getting close to a cure. They need your money, so I'm happy to do this. Well, I'm not happy to do this, but I'm going to do this.
Puts in three bags of ice.
Yeah. All right, I challenge Michael Catherwood, Samantha Shocker, and Kevin Ryder. You guys have 24 hours to respond. I'm I'm having a heart attack.
I wish you did, you son of a bitch.
Of all the people he could have challenged.
How did he challenge me? What is he
How
do?
Did he challenge you?
Why did that happen?
So how does it work with the Ice Bucket Challenge? Fortunately, I'm not popular enough for anyone ever challenge me. So you have to do it yourself and or donate money? Or can you get out of the ice water? Tell me.
Here's what I don't understand. If you don't do the Ice Bucket Challenge, is what it's called, I think you're supposed to give $100 to the charity.
Okay.
Okay.
But if you do it, I don't think the charity gets any money. But then you nominate three other people. And apparently the donations have been going up and up and up. So a lot of the people I think who even do it still donate because they're made aware of the charity and how important it is.
Right.
Which I think is cool. And I also think that your friends and family rally around you just like you were running a 5K or something like that. And they go, hey, that's cool that you're doing that. I'm going to support you by making a donation myself. All right. So it's working its way around the internet. There's so many videos. Lots of celebrities. Ronda Rousey, we talked to you next hour. She just did the Ice Bucket Challenge recently. A lot of the players in the NFL have been doing it. Our little friend Brad Williams, comedian Brad Williams, he did the Ice Bucket Challenge here in the parking lot of K-Rock just a couple of days ago. And you can see that up at kevinamine.com or krock.com. And here's what that sounded like.
Hey, this is Brad Williams. And I accept Dave the King of Mexico's Ice Bucket Challenge to raise awareness for ALS. And then I'm also calling out Jay Moore, Adam Ray, and Miss Double December, Brittany. You're also going to have to do this topless.
Why did it take four or five of us to come up with the idea of Miss Double December?
Because Brad's an effing genius, that's why.
We're idiots.
I know. Were you shooting the video, Kevin?
Was I shooting the video? No, I don't think so.
No, Brad, that was happening while we were still doing the show.
I was just trying to figure out why it cut off at the end before it was finished.
I'm not positive. It was not.
It just sounded like your move.
I did the ice bucket challenge on Dave, and then I also added some coffee mate. And that was a bad mixture, and he did not appreciate that.
But. Well, you heard Brad call out Brittany, Miss Double December 2014, here on the Kevin Bean Show, and she joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Brittany.
Good morning.
How are you, my dear?
I'm doing well. How's everyone doing?
We're
very
good.
Well. How's your French? I understand you've been learning French.
Yes, bonjour.
How are you doing that? Are you taking lessons, or are you doing it with a program online, or what are you doing?
Like, I kind of just started off me being on YouTube and looking up videos, and kind of I just made my cousin sit with me, and I was like, we're going to practice. She was like, we? Okay. It means yes, we.
We, see?
And, and it kind of just went from there. I got really obsessed with the French and how they do things, and I just love it, and I want to go to France. So I'm using The Secret, obviously.
Of course. She uses The Secret.
For somebody to take you to Paris, right.
And by the way, we agreed to The Secret only because you're hot. If you weren't, it's nonsense.
I know how confusing it is when, you know, I follow Brittany on Twitter, as you all should, and it's just all of a sudden you start seeing all this French in your feed, and you're like, what the hell's going on? And it's just you showing off or something. I don't know. All right, so how did you find out that you had been challenged by Brad Williams for the Ice Bucket Challenge yesterday?
Well, Brad, he slid through my DMs. He hit me on the DM.
Oh, no kidding.
A direct message on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right. And he let me know.
Now, have you seen the other videos?
I have. It was so funny when Dave did the coffee on Dave.
Yeah, he loved that.
Oh, my God. And Brad's was okay, too. But
he did his topless, though, and I don't know why he felt like we needed to see that.
I think he did his topless because he was calling out other people that he wanted to do it topless.
Right. Yeah, so it's like a trend there.
Yeah,
I see, like a come as you are party invitation, something like that. I got you. Well, what do you think, Britt? Are you willing to do the Ice Bucket Challenge?
I accept the Ice Bucket Challenge.
There you go.
There it is. So you have 24 hours. To do that, and then you send it to us, and we'll put it up, and people can see it.
All right, I'm ready. Right. And as far as, you know, taking off my top, everyone's just going to have to wait and see what we're going to do.
And then I have to do it, too, and I have three choices. Can I make them all Brittany? Are you allowed to repeat?
Poor Brittany's just like every hour she's going to have to do it again because somebody else has challenged
her. That's a perfect world. It just occurred to me.
So when are you going to do it, Brittany?
I have 24 hours. Not going to do it in 24 hours. I'm probably going to do it within the next week. So I have something special planned.
All right. Okay.
Wait and see what it is.
All right. Kind of teach you guys a little bit on that. So I don't want to give too much away.
All right. Well, we just wanted to make sure that you had heard about it because we know, you know, sometimes you're traveling and stuff and might miss the show. So we want to make sure the word got to you. So Brad challenges you. You're going to do it, and then you're going to challenge three other people to do it. And, again, this is the ALS organization. If you want more information, go to ALSA.org. It really is a great organization trying to fight Lou Gehrig's disease. And we'll look forward to hearing back from you on the video. And say something sexy to us in French before you go, Britt.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
That's a song! Come on. I still like hearing those words come out of Brittany's mouth. Follow her on Twitter at Britt Bricks. That's BrittBrixx. Thanks, darling. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Quick question for you guys, and maybe you won't know the answer, but I've been giving this a lot of thought. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Florida?
Yeah, Florida indeed. The Sunshine State is always in the news with the craziest people and the craziest stories. I mean, it is astonishing that we do this about every 10 days or so. And there's and I still have to delete half the stories that come out of Florida.
And it's weird, too, because sometimes you can exaggerate anything. You can say, oh, I'm sure there are this many stories out of any state. If you really focus on that state, you can find pretty much the same amount of ridiculous stories. Not true.
Not true at all.
Florida is the king, and there's no second place.
I agree, and it's amazing how many of them involve alcohol, too. Like our first story, police officers in Tampa responding to the scene of an incident at the Baptist Manor retirement home on Hyde Park Place. A destroyed Ford Mustang was there. It had crashed into a building where 300 senior citizens live. According to authorities, the man driving the car was a 28-year-old named Rico Jones. He's well-known to police, also known by his nickname of Diamond. Many previous arrests for prostitution, according to police records. At the time of the crash, Jones was wearing only women's underwear.
Okay.
A bra and high heels.
Okay.
He was able to climb out of the wrecked car and run away from the crash scene, but police caught up with him a block away. As you know, Lisa, it's very difficult to run away in high heels.
Oh, it's impossible. Kick those babies off.
Yeah, no, you can't come off and run bare feet.
Absolutely.
The car crashed right into the building's main air intake vent, sent smoke billowing into the retirement home. He was taken to Tampa General Hospital, treated for injuries. He's been charged with felony fleeing and eluding and leaving the scene of an accident. Police also suspect he was impaired, adding that a DUI unit had been trying to pull him over moments before the crash, but he sped away. Got around the corner and crashed into a retirement home.
Wow.
You don't ever want to be arrested in just your bra, panties, and high heels, right?
Especially if you're
a dude.
Trust
me, you are cold all night.
I wouldn't think so. Naples, Florida is where we go. Here's a woman already in jail. Her name is Crystal Stevens, 25 years old. She finally admitted that she stole a piece of paper belonging to her cellmate. On that piece of paper was her cellmate's debit card number. She then used that information to call a bail bondsman and bailed herself out of jail. Then she used the stolen credit card number to buy a plane ticket. In all, she charged more than $1,700 to the card. When her cellmate got out of jail and noticed those charges on her bill, that's when she contacted authorities, and that's where Crystal was arrested again. Now back in jail, charged with grand theft and fraud. That's not somebody who has learned a lesson, by the way, if you're already in jail and you commit another crime while you're there.
Pretty genius, though.
Here's a guy in Collier County, Florida. Deputies pulled over a 29-year-old man named Judas Exantes. He ran a stop sign. He denied running through a stop sign, but the deputy said, "I actually saw you do it, sir." They started arguing. The police officer proceeded to write the man a ticket, but the driver thought the ticket writing was taking too long, so he called 911 to complain about the deputy's delay. He called 911 to turn in a cop who was taking too long writing him a ticket for running a stop
sign. He's wasting my time.
The police officer did add on an additional charge of abuse of 911. The man was arrested and taken to jail, has been released following $2,000 in bond. What's wrong with dancing on a tractor, this story says? Nothing, but problems may arise if you do so simultaneously driving the tractor on a public street as you are way over the legal limit for booze and your genitals are exposed.
Oh, no.
A lot wrong there.
This story is so Florida, you guys. Elias Velez Morales, 24 years old, stands accused during a July 24th incident. It happened at 1:40 in the morning in Vero Beach. He was dancing on the seat of a tractor, an International 354 tractor, on the highway, dancing in the seat but having difficulty driving the farm implement. He said he'd only had three beers, but he was so intoxicated he was unable to give either his name or his address. His genitals were exposed, and he had previously urinated on his clothes and on himself.
Wow!
Oh, man.
That story has everything.
It really does. After performing field sobriety exercises, the man, whose address also unknown, was arrested on charges including DUI and having no driver's license. His breathalyzer revealed blood alcohol contact level of 2.49.
Wow.
That is what? That's over three times the legal limit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I would say.
Three beers.
Three beers or 100.
And finally, I know our listeners love the stories that involve karma, and this is one in Gainesville, Florida. A man got a dose of road rage karma. What happened was 48-year-old Joseph Carl had been drinking and driving, and he rear-ended a vehicle at a red light, but it was on a little bit of a decline, this particular street. So he got out of his truck without putting it into park, ran up to the car in front of him that he had hit, by the way, and began banging on the window and screaming at the woman who was driving the car. When the woman drove away, there was nothing holding his truck in place, so it rolled forward and hit him and trapped him under the car, where he was treated for fractures on his
Fantastic.
Hands and feet.
I love it.
He ran into the woman, didn't put it in park, and then got run over by it when he scared the other driver away.
Ran over by his own truck.
He deserved it.
He has been charged with DUI and DUI property damage so far. No word on whether he has obtained a lawyer, but I think he's best just to pay and just maybe walk away from that.
Yeah.
So that guy, Joseph Carl, perfect example of why we asked the question, what is up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Ralph Garman has another look at the Showbiz Beat coming up. Dr. Drew next half hour. And Ronda Rousey from Expendables 3 all coming up. This Donald Sterling saga appears to finally be over. I know he's still threatening to figure out new ways to challenge it, but the sale is complete now. Steve Ballmer, Microsoft billionaire, is now the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. I think Shelley really came out the big winner in this, don't you, Kevin?
Yeah, because she seemed like she was
his partner.
Kind of part of the problem.
For decades.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, she put up with it. She supported him. I mean,
yep.
How is
yep.
she
yep.
the good person out of this?
I don't know. But listen to this deal that she got. She gets up to 10% of the Los Angeles Clippers, or $200 million, spun off into a charitable foundation that she will run. She also gets 10 tickets in Section 101 or 111 for all Clipper games in Los Angeles. She gets 2 courtside tickets for all Clipper games in Los Angeles. She gets 6 parking spots in Lot C, 12 VIP passes, access to all the clubs, 3 championship rings following any Clippers title. And here's the weirdest one of all. She receives the title. Now, this is a legally binding arrangement from the court. She receives the title of owner emeritus and Clippers number one fan for the rest of her life.
That's not a joke. It's real. It's in the paperwork. It's been agreed to. It is legal.
What?
She is legally the Clippers' number one fan.
I don't know. And what about Clipper Daryl? What about that poor
bastard? What about Daryl?
I mean, come on.
Well, I tell you who's on the outside looking in is bitter old, angry, 80-year-old Donald Sterling, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, who must hate hearing all this news that's been going down in the court this week. Hi, Mr. Sterling. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Well, first of all, you guys are wrong.
We're wrong, okay.
We're wrong.
About it being over.
No, it's over.
The tag is far from over.
Well, the NBA ruled against you, the court ruled against you, and the NBA accepted the sale. It's done.
You're forgetting about a little lawsuit that I have against the NBA for $1 billion.
I'm sorry, could you say that number again, Mr. Sterling?
$1 billion.
Right. Look, it's America, and anyone can sue for anything, but you know that everyone has been ruling against you and rooting against you. You don't stand a chance.
I stand more than a chance.
How?
Because when I win the lawsuit for $1 billion,
right.
I then will buy back the Los Angeles Clippers franchise.
Okay, which has to be okayed by the NBA and the other owners, which is never in a billion years going to happen.
But it will happen because... because by I will first of all will have myself cryogenically frozen.
Okay.
And then in 100 years they'll all be dead and I will be thawed out. Then I will buy back the Clippers and then I will be Clippers fan number one, as well as Emperor Clipper Emeritus Eroticus.
Uh-huh.
Which will be my legal term. So there to my wife who looks like a catfish.
Is your wife as crazy as you are or crazier?
My wife, first of all, is a lovely woman.
Right.
I love her to death. She's got a great heart.
Sure.
But she is a pug-faced whore.
So you like her or you don't like her?
Who looks like she got hit in the face with a frying pan while it was still hot.
She
and left there until her face became an ugly omelet.
Okay, that's not a very nice thing to say really about anyone.
But I love her.
Right, sure. Yeah, we can tell.
She's a great, great person, and she's a beautiful lady who has been hit in the face with a snow shovel.
Right, snow shovel, right.
Poured acid on the face,
but she's then
hit again with a different kind of shovel on the digs graves of ugly people.
Okay, that's a lot of hits.
That's a specialty shovel.
But just as a contrast, though, she has all these Clipper perks and goes to all the games and is front row for all the games and blah blah blah. Clipper fan for life.
Yes.
You're not allowed to even watch them on TV. That's how outside the NBA you are.
I will be a ball boy. At the Clippers.
You're not allowed. You can't go to Staples Center. You can't show up at any of their games.
I'm a referee at the Clippers.
They will not allow you through the doors.
I will park cars at the Clippers.
You are banned for life.
I will be the referee at the Clippers games. Nope. One of my testicles will be the ball.
I think the players might accept that, by the way.
That's how much a part I am of the Clippers organization.
Well, you're not Donald Sterling, and you need to go away, but it is your close friend Magic Johnson's birthday today. I wanted to know if you had any greetings for him before we say goodbye.
That's so great, since he has those AIDS that I hope that—
He doesn't have the AIDS. Donald. You know that. He doesn't have AIDS.
He had sex with every woman everywhere in the world, and then he's got the AIDS.
He doesn't have the AIDS.
He has all of those AIDS.
You don't even understand how it works.
I see him someplace. He's got all these assistants around him.
That's not what
he has all those AIDS.
Okay. All right.
You sound tired.
I'm tired of you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, Ralph. What's going on, man?
Oh, things. Stuff. Events.
Like?
Stories. Happenings.
Which are?
Do you know many celebrities have hidden circus talents?
No.
Did you know that? I didn't either.
No.
Until I read this Us Weekly magazine article. Of course, we all know that Christopher Walken was a lion tamer. We all know that, right?
No.
Is that true?
Yeah. He worked as a lion tamer when he was a teenager.
Okay.
Hey, lion. Jump through this hoop, or else I'll whip you. Leslie Mann knows how to ride a unicycle and do tricks.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's got.
So now we got to hate Leslie Mann.
Why do you have to hate Leslie Mann?
Well, I don't. I love her, but anyone who rides a unicycle, I hate. Okay, strange policy, but okay.
It's an odd blanket policy to have. What is your hatred of the unicycle?
I don't know. I mean, aren't the guys who ride unicycles just like the mimes, where they're just trying too hard to be wacky? I feel like, what's the point of a unicycle, really, except just to look weird?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty cool thing to be able to do. It's impressive.
Yeah, it builds core strength and improves balance.
I don't like it.
It is actually a really good exercise.
It is, yeah.
No, take it easy.
I'm just saying.
It is.
I hate to take Bean's side, but I think people who pick up that, who do that, probably do it for, hey, look at me, I'm riding something most of you can't ride. I would guess. But I don't really care. I don't hate like he does.
People have odd lines you draw.
I'm still on the Leslie Mann tip, even though she does that. I'm good.
Pierce Brosnan learned how to be a fire eater when he was a teenager. He says to impress women. Well, women love a man who can set his tongue on fire.
That's weird.
It's very strange. There's your celebrity circus update.
All right.
Huh. Gwyneth Paltrow's a new boyfriend. Glee co-creator Brad Falchuk. Insiders say things seemed to heat up when she was a guest star on that show back in
10.
That's right. She was on several times, wasn't
she? Yeah, she came back playing Holly Holiday on that show. And they kicked things off, they say. Things were smoldering. He has a daughter and a son, just like she does. And he has just filed for divorce from his longtime wife in March.
Ah,
so, looks like they have more in common than maybe they're than they first thought realized. Especially when they were both married. That must have been something they really had in common.
Sure.
You're married? Me too. Well,
that's crazy.
I'm so attracted to someone I have something in common with, like our marriages.
Would you guys be, and this is difficult to have this conversation outside of thinking
what if
about.
Gwyneth Paltrow was on a unicycle. Then how would I feel?
No. I know we're talking about Gwyneth Paltrow, but would you be less likely to want to date somebody as famous as her or more likely to want to date somebody as famous as her?
Less.
Personally, less.
Because I think it would, you're just far. Setting yourself up for a complicated life, man, if you even start down that road.
Oh, that all depends on the person.
May.
Let me say Kate Upton instead of Gwyneth Paltrow. Then how's your policy then?
And straight on.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Yeah, I think you're for it. But, I mean, Gwyneth is somebody who goes out of her way to stay out of the tabloids, yet she is still continuously hounded. I mean, she is such a frequent victim of the tabloids,
well,
even though she's not doing anything
well,
most of the time.
She's relentlessly douchey.
That's true.
With her goop and all her BS and her attitude. So,
look it up. She's relentlessly goopy.
She is. She's goopy. And douchey.
So you'd pass on someone like her.
Yes, because of her, not because of her fame, though.
Okay.
Charlize Theron stops by and says, hey, Sean and I are on the rocks. What do you say? I'm like,
right.
Feats don't fail me now. That's what I am.
It's a whole different kind. She does stay out of the press and out of the tabloids.
Yeah, she's just as famous as anyone. I'm not going to stay away from her because of fame.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
So it's a case-by-case basis. If Gwyneth Paltrow was unknown, if she worked as an receptionist here at K-Rock, I would steer clear of her.
Because of goop?
Because of goopy douchebaggishness.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was my rap name for many years. And I never took off, strangely.
No one could say it.
I don't know why. Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our own DJ Omar Khan celebrates his 36th birthday today.
R.I.P., huh?
DJ Omar Khan.
Boy, I miss that kid.
What a shame.
Boy, do I.
I'd like him to come back to work here someday.
Can he come tomorrow or no?
No.
Nope.
He'll be back Monday.
All right.
Mila Kunis is 31. Lamorne Morris turns 34. He, of course, of New Girl. Catherine Bell, 46. She was on that JAG, right, for a long time?
That's right.
And
that's
now
her.
She's on Army Wives on Lifetime, which is a wildly successful series that I don't know anyone who watches, but people do. Halle Berry's 48.
By the way, a good-looking 48.
Halle Berry?
Yeah, doesn't
oh,
she
yeah.
look great?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You'd never guess she's 48. Irvin Magic Johnson is 55
good
years
looking
old.
Good-looking 55.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Marcia Gay Harden is 55. Good-looking 55. Steve Martin is 69. A great-looking 69. And David Crosby is 73. He looks 144 years old. He, of course, of Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Ernst, Young, Bartles, James, Batman, Robin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You ready? You ready? Let's fight.
Everything you need in a fighter, she has. Yeah, she's a woman and she's beautiful.
And the takedown by Rousey. And there she's looking for the armbar in the opening minute of the fight.
She's gonna pop it. The Ronda Rousey package is different than any other package we've ever seen.
Everyone who fights Rousey knows what's coming. No one has been able to defend it.
She's mean, she's nasty, and she's dangerous.
Ronda Rousey extending the arm.
My mom was the first American to ever win the world championships in judo. And she really made me into who I am today. She really made me a fighter in every sense of the word.
It's all over! Once again, first round armbar finish for the champion, Ronda Rousey.
New world and Olympic medalist in judo and the UFC women's bantamweight champion. And now on the big screens this weekend in The Expendables 3, our friend Ronda Rousey joins us back on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Ronda. How's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
I remember when you were in and you said, guys, I'm going to be in The Expendables. And we said, what? And now it's finally here. The most insane cast in a movie that I can remember as far back as I think. I mean, when you show up for work on a film like that, it just must blow your mind when you look around and see who's on set with you.
Yeah, it was crazy at first, and then it was crazy how quickly it became normal, and then you would get these little flashes of like, oh my God, this is nuts, like, again, but it wasn't constant all the time. The first day it was all day, and then after that it just come in bursts of how amazing it really all was.
Did you find that you had enough in common with people that, I mean, it seems like on the surface you have nothing in common with a guy like Mel Gibson, for instance, you know what I mean? But Wesley Snipes. But are those guys that you were able to kind of become friends with and have conversations with, and they just kind of turn into coworkers after a while?
Yeah, actually. And I don't know. It's just with people that are really passionate about what they do and they really, really care about something, and they're really good at something, then you really do have something in common.
What?
I want to have something in common with someone that just sits on their couch all day.
What about Harrison Ford? Now, to us, from the outside, he looks like he's getting up in age, and he mumbles a lot. He doesn't have a lot of energy.
I get the most nervous around him.
Do you?
Actually, yeah. Everybody else, I wouldn't get nervous at all. And, like, even at the premiere the other day, like, Harrison Ford tried talking to me, and I was like, I just lose it every single time. And every single time he walks away, I was like, what did I just say? And he's got that dry sense of humor that just makes you act like an idiot, you know? And,
sweet.
Yeah, I can't hold it together around Han Solo.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I mean, he was already Han Solo before you were born. I mean, talk about a legend. I mean, you've grown up your entire life seeing him and seeing Indiana Jones and seeing all the other movies he's done. And, I mean, at some point, it's just got to be weird to think of him as a real person. These people are bigger than life. So many of the actors in this film just don't seem real.
Yeah, and then after a while, I just kind of realized they're ordinary people and in extraordinary situations, and sometimes their situations make them a little weird, and sometimes the people just, they're just that strong of a person, they hold it all together regardless. And
right. We talked to Randy Couture about this and asked him about, you know, there's a lot of fight scenes and stuff like that, and I want to ask you the same thing. Do you have to learn how to not fight for real?
I have to learn to break some habits, because when you're fighting, you constantly want to protect your face.
Right.
And so every time I throw, like, a punch or anything like that, I'm covering my face up. And I had to purposely, like, open up my guard and everything and not have, like, you know, spirit fingers in front of my eyes every time I throw a left hook.
Do you get to do a lot of fighting? Is there a lot of action for your character, Rhonda?
Yeah. My character.
Because we don't know. We've only seen the trailer, you know.
Combat. So.
Who do you fight?
Who do I fight?
Yep.
Like 50 dudes.
I mean, but like Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Wesley Snipes, any of those guys?
No, I'm a good guy, so I'm hanging out with all them.
All right.
Yeah, she's on the right side here, Kevin. Come on,
Arnold,
man.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
He's on my side, too.
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen any of them?
No, I'm saying, I've seen The Expendables, but I haven't seen this one, no.
It's the best one so far. You're going to love it.
I don't doubt that at all. This is the voice of Rhonda Rousey here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about this weekend's Expendables 3. Now, I'm going to ask, you're a very honest person. That's one thing that we all fell in love with about you, is you do not BS, Rhonda. How are you as, forget fighting, how are you as an actress?
Oh, man, I cannot be non-biased about it. And I can't judge it at all, because every time that I watch, like, a scene or something that we shot, I'll be thinking, oh, yeah, I remember that day I ate broccoli, and I had to go over to the bathroom, and it took me 15 minutes to get something out of my tooth. And, like, I don't see it as the actual movie. I see it as that day. So I can't judge it at all. I don't know, man. I can't tell you if I'm good or not. I can just tell you that I tried my best.
Does it make you uncomfortable to watch yourself on screen?
When I'm, like, with people that I know,
right.
Like when I was at the premiere, I was sitting next to my family, and every time I came on screen, I had to cover my face because I felt like they were looking at me to see my reaction of watching myself, and I do not like to be watched watching me.
That's a weird position to be in. It really is. Changing gears for just one second, I know you've been out there doing a lot of publicity for this movie, and the video that you posted yesterday of you doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, it looked to me like you're at Fox, and you're dressed, and you're all pretty, and you're made up, but it looks like you're getting ready to do a bunch of TV and stuff, and then all of a sudden you get challenged by Dana White to do the Ice Bucket Challenge, and the whole thing's a mess. You douse yourself with this water. What was the rest of yesterday like for you?
Well, actually, it was like a really, really long day where I've been charging it all day, and it just so happened that the Ice Bucket Challenge, Dana's Ice Bucket Challenge came out, was the last thing.
Oh, good.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Good.
And, you know, I was running around. It's hot in L.A. I got, like, a tight leather dress on, man. I was ready to pour some ice water on my head.
By the way, you want to know how strong Rhonda is? She lifted her own bucket of ice water, by the way. That was a huge, heavy bucket of ice water and put it over herself,
stilettos.
Kevin.
Let's point that out.
Nice.
Skin-tight dress.
Nice. And who did you call out that you wanted to do the ice bucket challenge next, Rhonda?
Oh, I called out Sylvester Stallone, Dwayne Johnson, and Gina Carano.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, I like that.
Have you heard from any of them?
I don't know.
Might kill Sylvester.
What do you mean you don't know? You can't say.
I don't know.
All right.
I do know. I don't want to spoil anything before anyone does it.
All right, I got you.
Okay. Hey, where are you in the sequence of fights right now?
Well, I am in between fights at the moment. Hopefully, because John Jones twisted his ankle and got mm-hmm. into January, I really would love to fight on the same card as John and Daniel Cormier. So,
do they have somebody to fight you?
It's up in the air. I don't think I'm going to know for sure until September.
Might they choose two or three girls at the same time?
What?
Might they choose two or three girls to take you on at the same time?
At the same time?
Yeah.
This is gladiators.
You would still win.
I think it's about time. Like, look, they got to do something.
That jumps out of the bottom.
Right, a tiger. Off. Yes, exactly.
Now we're coming up with some great. Well, something that's going to take you more than 20 seconds to beat. That's all we're suggesting here, Ron.
Yeah, they're going to like put me in like a Houdini. I'll have a one hand tie or something like that. I'll have like a weight that I'll be like tethered to. Ball and chain.
I like it.
Yep, you're gonna be handcuffed and underwater, and you're gonna have to get out of a coffin. It's gonna be a freak night. I'll tell you that.
I'm sure me in handcuffs would sell all right.
Yeah, I'm probably. Sure
I think you're right. We couldn't be more excited. Look, in a summer where every weekend it seems like there's another highly anticipated movie, this is the one we've been looking forward to the most for so long. An unbelievable cast. It looks like so much fun. We were so happy to see that you were going to be in it too, and we can't wait to go see it this weekend, Rhonda.
Thank you so much. Yeah, let me know what you think.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I can take some honesty.
All right. We will.
We'll do it. Go see the movie this weekend and then tweet it, Rhonda, at Rhonda Rousey. And, of course, it's at Expendables 3 as well. Thanks so much for the time. We love you. It's always great to have you on the program.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew on Call Monday through Thursday nights at 6 on HLN, joins us each Thursday on the Kevin Bean Show to talk about what's going on in the world. Hey, Doc. How are you, man?
Well, I'm good. And I'm recovering from the cardiac standstill I experienced by having poured ice water over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if you saw that video, but video, I challenge Mr. Kevin.
Yeah, you're an asshole.
Because you want to stop his heart, too?
Yeah, I was blowing it down.
Why did you pick Kevin, of all the people in the world? You picked Mike from Loveline, you picked one of your harem on the HLN show, and then you picked Kevin from the Kevin Beach Show. Why did you choose him?
Because I knew I'd be speaking to him today,
you
and I wanted
bastard.
To make sure to get to somebody that I could really challenge in person and not just sort of assume they'd magically see me, and I thought, this is it. And Kevin's a good sport, and Kevin's
sure.
a public figure, and Kevin knows how important amyotrophic lateral sclerosis is.
I don't know what that means.
Money,
sure.
ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, they need you, Kevin. Come on now.
Look, I spend a lot of my life trying to raise money for charity because of my wife and I's charity, so I completely understand. I'm completely in, but F you.
Kevin, you're doing it today, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Well, yeah, you got to do it within
24 hours. And so, Kevin, here's the deal.
All right.
Enjoy.
Thank you. I know you mean that.
There's no, just because you're a doctor, I have to ask, you made the joke about your heart stopping. There's no danger in immersing yourself in ice water, right?
Well, there's something called the diver's reflex that if you hit it exactly right, you can mess your cardiac rhythm up. You can slow your heart down. You can stop your heart for a few seconds. You can even cause a real serious cardiac arrhythmia. Very unlikely in a healthy person.
Seriously not going to happen with me.
I felt it happen. It's a little different than when I was a kid diving in the ocean.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. Well,
wait a minute. One more question.
Yeah.
If that happens to me, will you feel bad?
Yeah, I'll feel bad, but you'll have done it for a good cause.
That's correct, yes, okay. All right, we're together, aren't we? We're on the same page.
You will not have lived your life in vain, Kevin, if you
right.
die doing the ice bucket challenge.
We
got a couple minutes with you, Dr. Drew. I know that you spent a lot of time on TV, your own show and others, talking about the tragic loss of actor Robin Williams this week. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about kind of a side effect of that story was what happened with his daughter, Zelda. And I know you have some real thoughts about this. We've talked a little bit in the past about how brave people get when they're behind a computer and on social media. Talk about what happened to Zelda.
Well, what happened was people behave as they always seem to do on Twitter and started attacking her. This poor woman, who's in the throes of grief at the sudden death of her father, was literally attacked and by the way, abused on Twitter with images of her father, photoshopped images of his dead body, so to speak. People attacking her, saying there weren't enough pictures of herself with him on her page. And she, I have actually tremendous admiration for this woman who stood up and said, look, first of all, this is BS. Secondly, I have plenty of pictures of my dad. They're on my mantle at home. They don't have to be in social media to be meaningful.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, I'll be, I think, deleting my accounts going forward because this is a toxic environment. And my problem is, why aren't there legal remedies for this? What they're really, I mean, if somebody comes up and punches you in the nose, you have some legal remedies.
Yeah, true.
This, I'm sorry, this is, not only is this no different, I say it's worse because it encourages a mob mentality, encourages people to attack and destroy, and people have to be held accountable. I'm sorry, there's got to be some laws in place, and I hope they call the Zelda Williams law. I mean, let's admire this woman, let's all start to follow suit, or let's not do business in these social media environments that don't contain this BS.
Let's
everyone in mass delete our accounts. Let's make a statement here.
I think a lot of people get uncomfortable when you start talking about punishing people or if you're suggesting arresting people for things that they say, though. I mean, we do hold the First Amendment so precious in this country. You're allowed to say foul and awful things and not go to jail for it.
But not harmful things. You're not allowed to yell fire in a crowded theater. And there at least needs to be some sort of standard, something. It can't be the Wild West. It can't be you can say the most harmful things that actually damage people or hurt them. I mean, you can't do it in print. You can't intend to harm somebody in a print magazine. Why can you magically do it in social media?
It just seems like the laws haven't caught up.
They haven't. I agree. They haven't caught up, and we have to start to create some sort of standard. And I hope she does. I'm sure she's too overcome with grief. This poor woman has had enough. We don't have to put this on her. But my God, the legal system has lots of fun taking aim at plenty of other people. Why can't they take some action here?
You'll be glad to know, Dr. Drew, that your network, CNN, is reporting this morning that Twitter is reviewing their policies after Robin Williams' daughter is harassed. The vice president of trust and safety said, "We have suspended a number of accounts related to this issue for violating our rules, and we are in the process of evaluating how we can further improve our policies to better handle tragic situations like this one." So at least they're aware that their product is being misused.
That's fine, and maybe that's where we hold someone accountable. Just go, hey, Twitter, police your account. If people are doing harmful things, it's your responsibility to remove them from this social environment. You're calling it social. It's pro-social, not anti-social. And if you, Twitter or Facebook, don't remove, you should be held accountable.
By the way,
that's where we take the suits.
They have a way to tell Twitter that something is abusive, right?
I've done it a million times.
Yeah.
They never respond.
Really?
Ever. Mm. Never. And I'm a little sick of it myself. Because, again, it's not just the enduring the punches. I mean, you get used to that. It encourages this toxicity and this mob mentality that I say is dangerous.
Dr. Drew, what is it that might turn an otherwise normal person into a troll once they get on a keyboard?
Bean, you're a smart guy. I don't understand this. I don't understand. It's easy to sort of speculate about narcissism and acting out aggression and the anonymity. But I don't understand it. How do you have the energy and the time to direct your attention that way and to have the desire and the motivation to think to yourself, I need to say something horrible to this person?
Yeah, it's right. Who's just lost her father?
It's
just
idea.
Straight hate. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, hate is not allowed in our society. Hate encourages bad behavior. Hate becomes a flesh behavior eventually. It generates this stuff. And we don't allow it in other environments. I don't understand why we allow it here.
All right, last question. Kevin has every right to hate you because you called him out on the Ice Bucket Challenge.
He should be twittering horrible things about
you. Right. He deserves to hate you. But do you, just because you are a celebrity, do you have a lot of people who seem to spend all their time typing out awful things to you, Doctor?
Horrible. All the time. I start every day with some sort of horrible, lovely comment. Many, many, many. And things that are usually based, what kills me, it's one thing if somebody has some sort of thoughtful criticism, it's like, oh, it's almost a thank you. But when it's based in weird misperceptions and unrealities and things
right.
that just other people are saying in the media, which is that's really what's scary about this. The guy wrote a book called Trust Me, I'm Lying. I'm blanking his last name. Trust Me, I'm Lying is the book. And he talks about how things people say in social media become the fact just because it's been said.
Yeah. And then once it's said once one place, the other places quote it.
Right. Then it gets quoted in Jezebel.com. And I asked for a retraction at Jezebel once, something that was so far from the truth. And they went, no, screw you.
Wow.
We're on to other things.
Well, I think it's great that you're raising awareness of this, and I do hope that what you have said comes to pass in terms of figuring out some way to squash this.
Let's be citizens of social media. That's what I keep saying. Let's be citizens. That's the idea here. Pro-social. Let's all use the social media for all the positive good it can be.
Listen, you can say angry and critical things without being hateful.
Absolutely, and let it be thoughtful. Let it be
right.
Let it be help people. In fact, you can say critical things that are helpful and even hurt. They can even hurt, but if they're based in truth and something carefully thought out, fine. Bring it.
Look for Dr. Drew and 9 of the hottest women on cable TV tonight at 6 on HLN. And then with the,
I feel offended by that.
With the very attractive Mike Catherwood after that at 10 on Loveline. And drdrew.com, podcast1.com for all the podcasts. Thanks for the time today, Doc.
You bet, guys.
Thank you.
It's sort of understated.
No.
Just kind of, hey, you don't want too much energy.
Is that on purpose?
No. Yeah.
No.
Just subtle.
I was trying to match the song. No? Mm.
No.
Huh. Hey, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Before we dive in, Ralph, you know, we just had a conversation with Dr. Drew about the way some people misused social media to attack Robin Williams' terribly distraught family.
Uh-huh.
And we actually have an expert who has really delivered, I think, what is the way we should all live our lives by when it comes to delicate situations like this. Can we hear the tape, please?
Let me tell you about show business. Even though you are a superstar and all that, you have a lot of, on top of your head pressing you down. Mm-hmm. So it's not right.
Ah, there you go. That's the takeaway from today's show. So now we've all learned a little valuable lesson I think we can use from this point on.
Sure puts in perspective, doesn't he?
I don't even know what he meant.
No one ever does, Kevin.
I mean, a lot of times you can say, that guy said it wrong, but at least I could tell where he was going with it. Not with Sam.
I was confused by how much confusion that Bean and Dr. Drew had regarding why people are such a-holes on the internet. Like, it was such a mystery.
It is a mystery.
It's not a mystery to me at
all. It's a mystery to me because I think a lot of those people, if you knew them, if they worked next to you, if you were friends with them, family members with them, you would never suspect how ugly they are when they get behind a keyboard.
Right, but most people... And Dr. Drew was like, why not make it thoughtful criticism? Most people are not thoughtful. Most people are dopes. There's a tremendous portion of the population that's just a bunch of dopes.
But what I'm saying is those people in a million years would never say those things life to another person.
But that's the magic of the internet is the anonymity it provides them to hide behind and to bear their uglier sides. It's like mobs used to be. A person would never say a thing standing by himself at someone else. But you surround him with a collection of 50 other douchebags, and all of a sudden they're picking up bricks and screaming at people. It's the exact same thing. The internet is the mob of the 21st century. It's the mob mentality. You can get away with anything because you're an anonymous group at that point. You're no longer an individual who has to take responsibility for what you say or think.
So it's just human nature, in your opinion.
And because most humans are D-bags. And that's just...
Are they dopes or D-bags?
They are all of the above. Okay. C. And it's the ugly truth about humanity. And the problem is a lot of people are lonely and unhappy with themselves and angry and frustrated. And that's where it comes from. No well-adjusted, happy person has ever been a troll on the internet.
Yeah,
never. True. It comes from people who live lives of quiet desperation, and in order to make themselves feel alive and a little bit more powerful, they have to lash out at someone, and who better to do it against than someone who has more than them, who is famous or rich or has talent or is looked up to. If they attack that person, then they feel a little bit raised up rather than wallowing in their sad, lonely lives that they have to exist in.
Dr. Ralph Garman, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Ralph Garman.
I think Sam said it better. But,
yeah, okay. He did. Absolutely. I am just ripping off of what Sam said. I'm just trying to.
He got a very important conversation going.
Exactly. Yes. Speaking of conversations, remember last hour we were talking about the fact that. Who was it who rides the unicycle? Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann rides
the unicycle.
Yes.
And people say, I hate people who ride unicycles. Hey, unicycle people should be murdered.
That was a weird moment.
Some weird rage heading to unicycles.
That was a weird moment of hate for unicycles.
Thanks, Mr. Jeff Treadwell. Thanks to listener Jeff Treadwell, who sends in the following email. Recently, when interviewing Chris Martin, Chris Martin talked about riding a unicycle, and Bean was all, oh, unicycles are so great. I bet that was really hard to learn.
What an asshole.
Thank you,
I don't
Jeff
recall
Treadwell
that at
for
all.
Setting us straight.
I don't recall that conversation at all. I can't imagine I would respond that way to you, because I really do dislike them very much.
I can absolutely imagine.
He probably knows the show better than I do.
Very much, though. I mean, even that doesn't make sense.
But I said,
how much do you care about it?
It's like mimes. I said it's like mimes.
Right.
It's just a form of entertainment that has no business. It has no business existing on the planet.
No, it doesn't hurt anyone. It's
not for you.
It's stupid. It's just, I almost said the R. It's stupid. It's just, it's unnecessary and it's annoying.
Unless you're Chris Martin.
Even for Chris Martin. Even for Chris Martin.
Oh, Chris.
A listener reminded me that Adam Carolla used to ride a unicycle, by the way. You know anything about that, Ralph?
I know nothing about that.
Yeah, so it sounds like he at least outgrew it, as most people should.
Didn't he do it on the Dancing with the Stars show?
Dancing with the Stars? Jeez, I don't remember.
I think he rode a unicycle on that show.
He might have. It's Who just, knows? It's no good for anyone.
Your
just
hatred
stop
of
it.
Unicycles is absurd. It's the most innocuous thing there is. What the hell's wrong with
just
you?
Is it better than a bicycle? No. Then why
it's
does it
just
exist?
Different.
But Bean, just look at it and go, not for me. I'm out. What's next? You don't have to attack it.
How about
a unicycle?
How about three-wheel trikes? Three-wheel bicycles? Is that a problem as well?
I'm not.
Anything
fence.
With an odd number? Is it about the number of wheels? Is that what it is?
I'm on the fence there. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the trikes. I do know that unicycles are no goddamn good.
All right. Good time. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
We live in weird times. Congratulations to Guardian of the Galaxy. Its soundtrack album, Awesome Mix Volume 1, is the number one album in America.
Yeah!
I know it's been out for, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Now?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, see it. That is a great movie.
Yeah, and the soundtrack is awesome, especially if you like hits of the 60s and 70s. And it's not like hits you hear all the time. They really were smart, hand-picked songs that are appropriate for that film.
I don't like those eras, and the music they picked was great.
I know you don't like that music at all, but it was terrific. So congratulations. That show, I really enjoyed that movie. It's good stuff. Wiz Khalifa told Us Weekly magazine that he's got a lot of vices. Here's a shock. He said he drinks a lot of coffee, he loves to read, and really likes apple juice a lot.
Does he understand the word vice?
I don't think he does. No. We have
to explain
talk
about fun life.
Yeah. It's really. Yeah, I'm sure that's what your vices are, Wiz. That apple juice addiction you have.
That could drive you right to an early grave.
Yeah. Probably rides a unicycle. That's what I'm guessing.
Dog!
What's going on with him?
West Side.
Those are both Lisa, right?
Yep.
Just want to clarify. Yeah,
yeah.
All right. And sad news for Star Trek fans. Arlene Martel has passed away. She, of course, was T'Pring.
Sure. If you'd like to know who that is, look up last hour's show. We spent a half hour on it.
Well, T'Pring was a very important character in the Star Trek mythos.
That's what I meant.
She was Spock's betrothed on Vulcan,
of course,
where he returns to during the Amok time.
Sure.
When
he fights Spock and he acts dead.
No, Spock does not fight Spock.
I don't
That
know
would be a physical
about.
Impossibility. He's going through the Ponfar, where he's in heat. Every 7 years, the Vulcans have to mate.
I just don't care
And
at
so
all.
He has to return to Vulcan, and he has to be reunited with his betrothed, T'Pring. They were supposed to be married.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
It was an arranged marriage when they were children, and then, of course.
This is so boring and forever taking.
Stop it! She just passed away, Arlene Martel. Stop it! Today's celebrity birthdays: David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He is 73 years old today. Steve Martin turned 69. Marcia Gay Harden is 55. As is Magic Johnson today. Halle Berry's 48. Catherine Bell is 46. Lamorne Morris from New Girl is 34. Mila Kunis, 31 years old today.
She's the best.
And our very own DJ Omar Khan celebrates his 36th birthday.
DJ Omar Khan.
Come back to work soon, won't you, Omar? I'm Ralph Garman. I'm Walk the Showbiz Beat.
Not that we're having a tough time without him.
No. Smooth as silk.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin DeBeat Show. We have Matt Money Smith here trying to talk us into fantasy football.
Nope.
Which is not, it's weird that
Ralph, you think it's nonsense. I think it's nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense.
Bean thinks it's nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense.
Right?
Yeah.
And about the everybody else in the country loves it.
Yes.
It's Dungeons and Dragons for jocks. That's what it is.
It's but it's huge.
If these guys would be beating up the guys who play Dungeons and Dragons for pretending to be dragons and wizards and freaking trolls, but they can pretend to be owners of football teams, and somehow that's okay in their little fantasy world.
But I feel like
them both.
I feel like we're so in the minority on that one. The fantasy football to be,
but you make money with it. Nah, shut up. Go get a job. That's how you make money.
Final chance to get tickets for Rise Against the
Storm. Or gamble like a real man. Bet on games like a person.
And our in-studio guest is Hulk Hogan.
That's right, brother.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.